special broadcast. We're giving over control for the next 3 hours to a long lost and not forgotten soul. Long lost and not forgotten soul, sign in, please.
Good morning. Welcome to Hometown Sunday Morning.
Wait a minute, what, something's missing?
Yeah, where's our that we music. Lost a theme song?
Vroom, vroom,
oh
vroom.
Man,
I'm sorry. It all came upon in the past week, and it's I'm 66. I forgot.
Sorry, don't. What's the shortstop button, Marshall?
Now, if you have, now push that.
Yeah.
And keep talking and push it down all the way.
Okay.
Push it hard so it clicks.
Yeah.
So see, it cuts your mic off so you don't burp or cough on the air.
Why would you need that, though? We've never done anything like that.
Well, we had somebody else that was using the studio that needed that, so
well, anyway, I was up for a short stay for a couple of days, and I forgot how busy the fall season is, and it's just the beginning of fall season. Just the events that I witnessed in the last day and a half here, it's the fundraising is incredible, and the things that are planned in our local communities here. I kind of missed that being down in Florida, that a lot of our communities down there don't seem to do similar things.
Really?
I mean, the town as a whole will do something. They'll have like a food truck night, or they'll have some live music or something like that. But you don't see a whole bunch of fundraising by local folks.
That's
some of the motorcycle shops, like Gator Harley, and some of the ones that are near me. When they do events, they have local firefighters run food booths and stuff like that. But we're very fortunate here in the Northeast. So
I got a couple of pancake breakfasts here.
Yeah, that's what I mean. See, there's not a lot of that
down there.
Really,
there's not as much as it's down there, but it's not as much as up here for
that's
sure.
That's because they have the blue plate specials in the evening.
Well, they have that all day long. That's the other thing that amazes me. But yeah, let's go over those pancake breakfasts anyway.
In Kent, the Kent Fire Department has their community pancake breakfast. It runs until 11:30 this morning at the firehouse. Pancakes, bacon, sausage. $8 for adults, children under 8, $4. And the Wissahick Fire Company, their pancake breakfast and bake sale is this morning. Mm. It goes on to 11. Pancakes, omelets, French toast, eggs, bacon, sausage, home fries, coffee, and juice. Adults, $8. Seniors, 7. Children, $5. And I want to mention this because it comes up tomorrow. The Dutchess County Department of Emergency Response, in partnership with the town of Dover, hosting a free citizens preparedness training session tomorrow at the Dover Town Hall. Registration opens at 11. The program begins at 11:30.
Wow, that's a good thing.
Yeah, they move from county to county and they do the programs, and they even supply give you some supplies if you come register for the thing.
You mean food?
No, like batteries, you know, lights and stuff like that.
Well, anyway, welcome, Farmer Paul.
Yes,
it's
thank
nice
you.
To have you back on the air.
It's been a long time.
You got disciplined because,
I did.
Yeah, by Marshall, because you don't show up here and just say hi.
I mean,
and
at
do
least
drive-bys.
I've seen Deneen. You know, I've seen Pat Deneen, but
yeah,
I haven't seen these guys.
For a long time.
But he's, you know, he's never around, and of course, our
ranting and raving Larry.
He wasn't ranting and raving at all. I ran into his wife like 7 times. Talk with her, but not with Larry.
Well,
and Jean Sadler, we won't even mention about her.
Well, we have an interview. I did a couple interviews yesterday, and because it is so busy up here, Swassa had their golf tournament yesterday. So you know, Willie Hallahan will be on the phone for an hour, and then of course the Sunday in the Country food drive. Bill and Colleen Anstead are at the helm of that now. They've set up their fall fundraising events, and he's going to be calling in, talking about that at about 10 o'clock. I also did an interview with Jeannie Sadler because coming up in the second week in October, I guess it is the annual fall festival in Salisbury and a couple other events that the Chamber of Commerce are doing. So I wanted to make sure that we got that on the air.
And the crop walk's coming up, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's just it's just so busy this time of year, and I'm glad, Marshall, this worked out that we could try to get some of these events publicized to get out and help raise funds. So we'll be hearing from all those people as we go forward. But as always, we start out with a troop tribute, and I'm so happy to see that Larry is Ranton and Raven Larry, or what was his last name? It wasn't Ranton and Raven. He didn't like that name.
Patriot Larry?
Patriot Larry. So now I've lost his email, so that's perfect.
Doesn't he have a column somewhere?
He does, in the Millerton News. So
some
once
of those
a month,
words, I did not understand.
Once a month, Larry is now writing in the Millerton News and talking about what goes on in his opinion.
Yes.
So the latest one.
So he left me
and
went to the newspaper business.
He did, yeah. He went to the newspaper business.
Well, I tell you, the gratitude.
So everything. So Marshall, your day's just going downhill.
I mean, jeez.
Well, I want to say hi to all my new friends down in Florida because I've got them all wound up to listen to RobinHoodRadio.com because if you go to that website, you can push on what? Click on Listen Live.
Yep. Listen
Live, and you'll be able to hear today's show by Farmer Paul and myself. But this is the September 14th edition of Larry's column in the Millerton News. It's called The Veterans Corner by Larry Conklin. Our military and first responders. This old veteran who served his country proudly is has these personal opinions to share with you. Today I constantly ask myself a simple question. What fools would be so crazy to join our military units, police force, forces, or fire departments? All are overworked, most accept minimal or no pay, and one is mostly underappreciated. Patriotism and respect for these individuals is on a serious decline in this country, and or as it was when I served Vietnam. Until recently, the military was ignored and lacked backing from our mostly defunct self-serving politicians. Sadly, police officers are now being degraded, demoralized, and attacked by an out-of-control public, supported and encouraged by inept governors, mayors, and police commissioners who conveniently look the other way. Laws? What laws? Firefighters risk their lives to save those in peril, too often encumbered by blazing roadblocks and even sniper fire. Public disrespect and disgraceful behavior was rampant during the Vietnam era. These were selfish, immature individuals only interested in personal attention, shameful behavior, and self-gratification. Unfortunately for us, many of these individuals are now deans and professors in our learning institutions who have still not matured and are still fostering hatred and intolerance. I would encourage any high school grad to seriously consider vocational or trade schools. Many are forced into higher learning institutions today to appease their parents' ego. I admire those parents who can and are able to homeschool their children. Perhaps it's a better experience than enduring a mostly increasingly liberal school system. In some schools, the inmates may be running the asylum. I would bet my last dollar the homeschoolers are taught respect, and those teaching respect of country, respect of office of commander-in-chief, respect our military, and respect our first responders. Tolerance and self-control are required. I yearn for the past when respect and tolerance and common sense were embraced by most politicians and then objective news media. Hopefully it will return, but the constant baiting of discourse about hatred, racism, and all the created philosophizing continue to be relished by many. There are those who are capable of thinking for themselves are too lazy to learn the facts. Hopefully our military, police officers, and firefighters will prevail. Their effectiveness faces many stumbling blocks. They deserve better. America will always remain great with the support of you patriotic readers. This country is great and must always remain so. We together created it. We together defended it. and many, too many, have died for it. We must never forget. Remain strong, stay faithful, and stand for a right. God bless you all. Millerton resident Larry Conklin, a Vietnam veteran, is a member of the American Legion Post 178 and a North Canaan VFW Post 6851.
I'm glad he's toned down his opinions.
I think you're right. They're pretty big words.
Appease, relish. I think he has the Webster's Dictionary right next to him.
All right. It sounded good, though.
How come there was no hot dog by the relish?
Anyway, well, that's. I'm just glad that he's continuing on with something that years ago he didn't even want to come in on the show and do any kind of a tribute. And over the years, he really. Matured into it and got into it and studied hard to get facts straight on whatever the topic regarding our military was, to not only educate the public about what goes on, but give different opinions as to what it was like to be in the Vietnam era and come home where you were hated and still have love for your country and service to your country. I mean, that's it's quite unique. And I thanked him on the very last show that we were here, and I'll thank him again because I think it's great that he wants to continue, even if it's once a month, and voice opinions so that people become aware of what all our first responders and military folks do for us to keep our safety. So as always. If we remember, we have a tribute song, and this goes out to all those military folks, both past and present, folks who have served, folks who were unable to come back from serving their country, that gave the utmost sacrifice, and, of course, all those first responders who I see quite often running in Florida hours and hours a day, trying to keep everyone safe and out of harm's way. And this goes out to certainly all of you with a huge thank you from us, the Joe Blow public. Yeah.
Here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place, where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams. Happiness ain't out of reach.
So anyway,
pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and stripes
and the
eagle fly.
In the afternoon.
There's a lady that stands in her honor for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this flag. And if that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud to do, hey, we could use some more like me and you. The stars and stripes and the eagle fly. on earth. But it's the only place that I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did. With the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. Where the stars and stripes.
Listen to the Beatles run. Old Bo Cephas through a jukebox needle at the honky tonk with a boot stomp all night. What? Yeah, what? The car work, digging in the dirt, got to get it in the ground for the rain come down to get paid to get the girl in your four wheel drive. Yeah, the boys round here drinking that ice cold beer. Talk about girls, talk about trucks. Running them red dirt roads out, kicking up dust. The boys round here, sending up a prayer to the man upstairs. Backwoods legit, don't take no lip. Chew the back, chew the back, chew the back, spit. Oh, heck. Well, the boys round here, they're keeping it country. A damn one know how to do the dougie. No, not in Kentucky. These girls round here, yep, they still love me. Yeah, the girls round here, they all deserve a whistle. Shaking that sugar sweet as Dixie Crystal. They like that yaw and southern draw, and they just can't help it because they just keep falling for the boys round here. Drinking that ice cold beer. Talking about girls, talking about trucks. Running them red dirt roads out, kicking up dust. The boys round here, sending up a prayer to the man upstairs. Backwoods legit, don't take no lip. Chew the back, chew the back, chew the back, spit.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Hey now, girl, hop inside. Take a little ride to the river. Let's ride. Lay a blanket on the ground. Kissing in the crickets, is it gonna sound? We out of town. Have you ever got down with a?
Yeah, this is, of course, Hometown Sunday Morning, the special edition, because the special person is in the studio. And that's excluding Paul.
Yes.
good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Anyway, don't forget the two breakfast folks down in Wasake at the Wasake Firehouse. They do a homemade breakfast like all the other folks, but they also have a little bake sale that goes along with it, so you can get a cake or some pie or some homemade cookies that were made fresh to take home with you for your Sunday afternoon dinner. And that runs until, I think, 11. And then, Marshall, I was interested when you said the Kent Volunteer Fire Department. I never remember them in all the years that we've been on the air that they did a pancake breakfast. And that's good to hear that they're doing that.
Yeah, and I think what also might have helped is that we have that new signal now that covers down to Kent on the Connecticut side.
Oh, that's right.
And covers down to Pauling on the New York side. So that might have helped us find out more about that.
Oh, maybe Crazy Butch Anderson will listen to us today because I see his signs all over the place along with all the other politicians.
Well, they start early in New York.
That we used to have on the air. Anyway, joining us in the studio, and it's so cool to be back here to help promote some of the events that are upcoming, not only in the next week, but in the next month. So just stay tuned for a little while, and you'll hear some more of that. But joining us in the studio once again, and Paul, we didn't even have time to bet on how long Willie would talk today, did we?
Oh, no, but he has all the time in the world.
He has all the time in the
world. Just remember, he's going to really be busting open because he only gets 13 minutes with me.
Yeah, well, that's what we were just talking about off the air, and I said, wow, if I knew we could have done that with you, we probably would have put our own foot down. But anyway, I told him he didn't have to be in a hurry today. His side comments are always appreciated because not only has he created something very good for the general public to look at a website and find out what events are upcoming sports related as fundraisers, but he looks like Larry Conklin, doesn't he, Paul? He's got five pages of stuff to tell us about.
Oh no, I was going to say he's more here.
Yeah, well, see, you're always on the A game. You look outside the box.
That's right.
You look outside the box. Well, anyway, Willie, welcome. Welcome back.
Good morning, Dave. By the way, I only look like I have more hair because I'm the only one here not wearing a hat.
Is that what it is?
That's it. Okay. Dave, it's so good to see you, and Paul, you too. It's been a while, and I miss you guys.
Well, tell us what's going on. Do you want to start with SWASI? You want to do their report first, or you want to tell us what's going on this week?
There's so much to talk about that's upcoming. I will mention SWASI. We had our golf tournament yesterday over at Under Mountain. It's a quirky tournament by most golf tournament standards. We have the pig roast with it, for one thing. It's an 18-hole tournament on a 9-hole course, so it and the weather was perfect, and we get characters there, and it was just a fun time. The deuce-em of Jeff Harvey Sr. and Jr. won with 11 under, which is just an unprecedented. I happened to be playing with him and watched him. It was golf at its best on almost any level. But anyway, that's a fundraiser for SWASA, and SWASA uses its funds for children's skiing programs and also maintenance at the hill. We're looking to improve. We're always improving the facilities over there, and at the moment we're looking to turn our smallest 20-meter junior training hill into a year-round facility so our kids can jump year-round and better compete against the likes of Lake Placid and other places where kids can jump year-round. But we're always doing something. We're always doing things for the kids, and we're always looking to upgrade our facilities. And it takes a lot of money, and one of the ways we do that is with the golf tournament.
Now, you guys did something different this year, though. It was only just an 18-hole tournament. It didn't start till 1. There was no early flight and late flight, right?
Well, yes and no. Like, as always, we offered 2 9-hole tournaments along that would run concurrently with the 18, but nobody signed up for the 9 this year. Everybody who signed
just
up.
Played just played for the 18.
Yeah, and it started at 11. And like I said, the weather was great, and everybody seemed to have a good time, as they usually do. And it was just one more golf tournament. The VFW in Canaan had their golf tournament yesterday. The sad thing that I've found by wrangling all of these events is that so many of them stack up on top of each other, and people who would normally have perhaps played in both could have had to make a choice, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is in September. September is the busiest month of the year for the events in my world.
And how about those folks at the Under Mountain Country Club? I'll tell you what, Willie, I helped take care of the golf course on our complex down in Florida, and when you come up and you see this nine-hole course, ours is a nine-hole course, but you see what John MacArthur and his staff have done with that course.
Oh, it's...
It's incredible.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been weeding for the last month. I've been weeding sand traps. And it's not easy work, especially in the sun, but I'm not complaining about it because I feel good about it. But I've got to tell you, when you look at those sand traps up there and you just look at the lushness of the greens and the fairways and stuff, it's incredible. Well, he does a tremendous job.
He does. And any time of the year, no matter whether we're in drought conditions or otherwise, the course is always pristine. It's just a jewel of a place. We play there all the time. And you're right, John. We don't like to give him credit very often, but he truly does do a great job.
And then there's Trish in the main building that really coordinates all the tournaments and does all that part of the business. And now they've added a liquor license there, so that
they have
can
a full
have a
yep.
mixed drink if yep. you want one.
Yep.
And they've really, since I left in last November, they took a lot of stuff on over that course of the period of time.
Yeah, they have, and we're lucky to be associated with them. I should add, since you were here last, I think Dave Jack Schockschober passed away. He was the patriarch of the golf course.
He had a builder.
yeah, and the builder of it. Yes, indeed. Pat, his wife is still with us. But this is the first, I made mention of it yesterday, this is the first SWASA tournament without him, and we truly miss him. He was a wonderful, wonderful sweetheart of a man. Well, should I get into
You might as well events? Start, and then we'll do future events at the end with SWASA, because...
Okay.
If I remember right, there's six things going in the next month and a half for you guys.
Yeah.
It seems like it anyway.
Yeah,
but
there is.
Let's go through the general stuff first.
Okay.
And, first of all, tell us about what you started with this website and why you started it and how far it's come since its inception.
Sure. My initial idea in my retirement, I thought, because I have been associated with SWASA as long as I have, when you're involved with a nonprofit, you become aware of your fellow nonprofits. And over time, there are things like the Sunday in the Country Food Drive and the Jane Lloyd Fund and the Canaan, Lakeville Fire Company. Sometimes you do things jointly, but you realize you're a community of nonprofits. And what became evident is there are all these small charities, all struggling to make money to do their good work, and they're all scrambling for basically the same donation dollars. And what they all do is they all hold events to try to make money, and most of the charities, all the charities, are supportive of each other. And anyway, over time, it dawned on me that perhaps it might be a benefit if I created kind of a clearinghouse of information about what's going on in the nonprofit world. My initial idea was to create a website that listed all of the fundraisers going on in the area. Well, it immediately became evident that that was just untenable. There's just thousands, literally thousands of events, from the spaghetti dinners and wine tastings and house tours and you name it. There's just so many events going on. So my next thought, and the one I went with, is to create a site that dealt with sports-related fundraisers alone. It's a narrower niche than the all-encompassing idea I had. But as I found out, it's still pretty busy. I have over 400 events on my website in the tri-state area. My area of interest is pretty much the same as Robin Hood Radio's. Southern Berkshire in Massachusetts, go over to the Hudson River. In New York State, because of the walkway over the Hudson, there are a lot of events there that are of interest to me, and most of Litchfield County. So the even though we're sparsely populated, pretty much, there's a lot going on. Of the 400-plus events and growing, I mean, I don't know as I've really tapped the possibilities here yet. There's at least 300 charities involved, and that's heartening for me. And the idea is, by promoting them, I have them on my website. If I can cover an event, I put it on Facebook and Instagram. My blogs I've started putting on Facebook sometimes. And by promoting upcoming events on Robinhood Radio, and Marshall puts things from here on the Internet, our field of influence is growing a little bit. It's not just – it's a multimedia kind of approach, sort of like Robinhood Radio. Robinhood Radio isn't just a radio station anymore. They have a website. They have Facebook. And in its aggregate, I'm hopeful that I can get the word out about these events and then by extension help the charities that are the recipients of the donations from these events. So that basically is the idea. It's a pretty modest goal, I think, but it keeps me busy. It keeps me out of bars for the most part. Not completely, but...
No, not completely.
Did he say out of bars or behind bars?
Probably both.
Okay.
And of course, things ebb and flow with the time of year. When you're in New England, we have four seasons, and each bring its own special characteristics. And September happens to be the busiest month, probably for more than sports-related fundraisers, but certainly this world. I think this is the third weekend of September that I'm able to report on the events, and there's easily 40 events per week of all kinds, and this week is no different. There's just a slew of things going on. I should probably start getting into it. What do you think?
I would think so.
Okay. The first thing I'll mention is the Million Mile. This is a month-long, the whole month of September, effort by Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. They address childhood cancer, very worthwhile cause. And they had devised this virtual event. There's no place and time to do this, but basically they're asking people interested in childhood cancer research to run, walk, bike, whatever they do, walk the dog, wherever they happen to be, keep track of their miles over the month of September, solicit, like any walk-a-thon, you solicit donations from your friends and family, and at the end of the month, hopefully, in its aggregate, people have walked a million miles, and they raise a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's there's one more week of that for the Million Mile Project.
Wow.
Today, there are a bunch of things this morning. If you're listening to Marshall's public service announcements, there are easily half a dozen events that have already come and gone or in progress as we speak. I won't mention those. But there are a number of events still going on today that you listeners can take part in if you want. There's the Walk the Walk for Recovery. This takes place at 12:30. This afternoon on the walkway over the Hudson, a frequent site for walks and 5K runs. This is sponsored by the Villa Veritas Foundation and helps families in recovery. Also today is the Friends of Mo golf tournament. Marshall mentioned that earlier. This is a golf tournament. Mo was the nickname of Maureen Snyder. She was a wonderful lady, I'm told, who passed away from cancer several years ago. And the tournament, which it's one of those golf tournaments that just overflows. They have to cut off participation early because so many people go to it. It's just an emotional favorite for a lot of people because they raise money to help people suffering from cancer. I suspect it's a lot like the Jane Lloyd Fund, but I think they target a handful of people in need and donate to them. They raise a lot of money, and they have tons of business sponsors. And that starts at 11, but chances are it's already closed out. Also today, the Norfolk Land Trust 5K and 10K trail races. This takes place at Barbara Woods in Norfolk. It starts at noon and benefits the Norfolk Land Trust. All the runs will be on their property. It's a trail race. There's a Walk into the Future, which is sponsored by Construct up in Great Barrington. They've changed the name. I can't remember what the name of the event was last year, but they changed the name to Walk into the Future. It's a 3-mile or 1-mile walk. The 3-mile starts at Ski Butternut, the 1-mile at the Great Barrington Courthouse. This starts at 1 and benefits Construct, which works to provide housing for those in need. Also today, the ongoing month-long Housatonic Heritage Walks. The Upper Housatonic Heritage Area is a federal area. There are 13 of them in the United States, and they're special areas that the federal government has designated as meaningful in three ways. It celebrates, in effect, the historic, cultural, and natural qualities of our area, and we're blessed to live right in the middle of that. And the Upper Housatonic Heritage people do a series of walks for the whole month of September on Saturday and Sunday, all 4 weeks, weekends of September, about 15 events per weekend. They offer these walks and hikes and so forth to different places of interest. And I think there are five of them this afternoon that people can go to. Each one, by the way, is hosted by an expert in the field. Like at 1 o'clock this afternoon, there's a study of the historic churches in Sheffield. There's also a walk to Mount Greylock, the top of Mount Greylock. There's a walk at the old mill trail along the Housatonic River in Hinsdale, which explores the old mill businesses of yesteryear. There's a walk on the Appalachian Trail that starts at the site of Shays Rebellion. It's a 4 mile hike. That's at 1:30. At 2 o'clock, the Pond Mountain Trust has a walk at their nature preserve in Kent. That's one. There are a lot of these places I've never heard of before, nature preserves and so forth, that you'd think over time you'd know, but they're special places, and these heritage walks give people the time and the place to explore that.
And learn the history of it.
History. It's incredible. You go, they have the best website. There are a handful of events that I cover where the home website is so complete and comprehensive that you can go there and find out anything you want to know. All 60 events that have been happening this month are on the housatonicheritage.org. It's a great website. So I'll encourage everybody, if they're interested in any of these events, they can go find out exactly where, when, and what to expect. And then the last event today at 3 is an exploration of the landscape and the gardens at the Mount, which is the home of novelist Edith Wharton. They add that it's not a tour of the house itself, but its grounds. So that's just today. Tomorrow, the High Watch Golf Tournament at the club at River Oaks. It's a exclusive private club, you know. And I've played there once. Very, very nice.
Well, I'm sure you have.
Well, in the tournament,
being a celebrity.
In a tournament, you know, no.
Probably a guest.
They would have
no. Know
they
what I mean?
They would have
oh,
picked
a
me.
Guest.
He was a guest. He didn't have to pay.
Oh.
No, it was at a golf tournament that I paid for. They'd toss me out if I walked onto those grounds by myself.
Really?
Yeah, sure they would.
Well, you look like one of the groundskeepers.
You see, you may get shorter time with me, but you don't get harassed.
Yeah, right. That's right, Marshall. How quickly I forgot.
That's right.
And anyway, the proceeds from this tournament offers financial assistance to people who are in recovery at High Watch. Also tomorrow, the Torrington PAL, 10th annual golf classic at the Torrington Country Club. The PAL is the Police Activities League in Torrington. They do great work. It's kind of like a Boys and Girls Club, where they take kids and give them after-school activities, both educational and athletic, and they can really make a difference in youngsters' lives, and that's where the proceeds go to from this golf tournament.
How
they've
cool
been doing
is that?
Yeah. And then Friday, speaking of cool, and I got something to say about this one. The United Way of Northwest Connecticut has their Glowball tournament at Eastwoods Country Club in Torrington.
There you go.
And Dave, remember when we had the Glowball tournament
was,
over at Undermountain for Swasa? That was.
The only problem with that was you guys had already golfed. What?
18 holes.
18 holes, and then you add another 9 in the dark.
Yeah.
And so by the time everybody got halfway through the Globe Ball tournament. Uh-huh. Everybody was finally tuned.
We were shot.
It was a long day.
On all kinds of levels.
But it was fun.
It was, yeah. They play in the dark because they have these special balls that glow. The participants wear something on them that glows so they can be seen by other players. And the hole, the pin, has a something glowing so you know where to hit the ball. It's funny that they make note that this is not a riding event. They don't let carts on the golf course at night.
Yeah.
you can only imagine the chaos.
You know what? We had our junior prom or senior prom at the Eastwood Country Club back in 71 or 72. But I don't. It was one of those 2 years. But anyway, that's a beautiful country club.
Yeah, yeah.
A nice facility.
Yeah.
It really is.
And one of
so
the things.
So that'd be a lot of fun, that tournament.
Yeah,
oh, tonight.
It would be. And they also, they had a regular golf tournament earlier in the season, again, for the United Way projects with all the good that they do. Friday through Sunday of next week is the Vintage Car Club of America fall finale over at Lime Rock Park. It's pretty much the last of their major events. It's free to people.
When is that?
Pardon?
When is that?
It's Friday through Sunday.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
The 27th through the 29th. And I always put the major Lime Rock events up because not only do they help offer a presence for local nonprofits, but the Michael J. Fox Foundation is their major charity, and they contribute to that organization from the proceeds from their events.
And that's a huge event.
It is, yeah. I think all of them these days, the four events that they have during the year, they've been huge. I think they've all been successful. I think the weather was in their favor just about every time. And on Saturday of that weekend, the 28th, there's the 13th annual Buddy Walk. This is up in Dalton. And it's co-sponsored by the Berkshire County ARC and the Berkshire County ARC Down Syndrome Family Group. This is a collaboration between these two nonprofits that address the needs of folks with Down syndrome. And this thing is huge. I mean, last year, I think they had 1,000 people walk in this thing. And these walks are almost always free to go to, but you're asked, encouraged to raise money ahead of time and bring the proceeds to the event. And it's like I said, it's hugely possible. They'll get 1,000 people at this thing, which is a big deal.
That's huge.
Yeah. Also, that same day, on the 28th, on Saturday, is the Highland Hustle 5K. This is the third race in a series of four that benefits the Northwest Connecticut YMCA. And Center Subaru in Torrington underwrites all four of them. I mean, it's a huge financial commitment by that company. And there'll be one more in the fall. But the proceeds from this go to the YMCA specifically to give financial assistance to families that don't have the resources to join the YMCA. So it helps out a lot of people. And in its aggregate, in all four events, a lot of people are participating. So that's a very popular series, and Center Subaru has been doing that for years. So good for them. Here's another free event, the Sharon Hospital Bike Rodeo for Kids. This is actually part of Lime Rock Park's fall finale. That's on Saturday of the weekend. And basically, they just provide, this is for youngsters. So they bring their bikes, and they have games and bike-related activities, and they give them safety tips. I've spoken before about biking on the highways and byways around here and how dangerous it is. Let's face it, cars and bikes don't get along. They never have, and there are a lot of reasons why. And one more blog, I've addressed it before, but we'll talk about it one more time in my blog about how to coexist on the highway, cars and bikes. But anyway, that's happening next Saturday, and it's never too early to teach the kids about bike safety on the roads. The next day, on Sunday, the 29th, the Gould Farm Running for Recovery. This is a 5K up in Monterey, hosted at the Gould Farm, which is a facility that helps people with mental illness. And the proceeds go to their programs. Also next Sunday is the Hall for McCall. This is a BMX race. BMX are the, for those who aren't familiar, they're bicycle races. They're kids and not so kids. I guess adults do it too. It's a bicycle race on special off-road bicycles they go over hill and dale. They have jumps and berms and hairpin corners and all that sort of thing. And there's a facility in Torrington. It's called the Foothills BMX. I'm sure a lot of people don't even know it exists, but they hold events throughout the year. And this one race next Saturday is for the McCall Foundation, the family center. They do a lot, the McCall Foundation does a lot of good. It's sort of like the Housatonic Youth Services Bureau. They address the issues of the young opioid veterans. They have different programs addressing the needs of people everywhere. That's a great organization. And this BMX race targets substance abuse specifically. That's next Saturday. Next Sunday, rather, the 29th. I'm getting all my days confused.
I can see why. Well, yeah. You're pretty busy. I remember we used to have five things.
I know. Also next Sunday, Marshall mentioned it early, and you did too, Dave, the Northwest Connecticut Hunger Crop Walk. This takes place at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. It's been going on for years. They get hundreds of people. Last year they had 500 people, and I have to note that fully half of them are teenagers, kids from Housatonic, Indian Mountain School and Hotchkiss School. They will end up comprising half of the field, and that's heartening to see that the youth get involved. And I see that a lot. There are a lot of events that the youngsters get involved in. The Dover Dragon Dash 4th Annual 5K and 5 Mile races will be held at the J.H. Ketchum Memorial Pavilion in Dover Plains. And that benefits the Athletic Booster Club over there. That's also on the 29th.
You know how popular that J.H. Ketchum group is, that band and all? They march in the – they normally get invited to march in the Macy's Day Parade in New York City.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow. That's great for a small town.
I mean, that's big when you think about it.
Yeah, no, it's huge. Yeah. Also next Sunday – the Dutchess Ulster County Out of the Darkness Community Walk. My blog that's up on my site right now addresses that this week. Out of the Darkness is there are 400 or 500 of these walks around the country, and addresses suicide and suicide prevention. And I attended an event last year, and I wrote the blog about it, and I would encourage you to see it. My blogs, by the way, are very short. You can read them in 2 minutes, and I would encourage you to do that because these are people who are gathering. This was an event last year in Great Barrington. 500 people showed up. There were survivors of people who loved ones who had committed suicide, and it's billed as a celebration. And I went up there to see how can you have suicide and celebration in the same sentence? But I think I answered that question. And please check out the blog. And there. There is an Out of the Darkness walk. It's a walkathon, again, like all of them. They're free to enter, but you're encouraged to raise funds and go and participate. But the key is getting together with other people who have suffered the same way you have, and a celebration can ensue from that, believe it or not. And that's sponsored by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the proceeds, of course, go to their work. All these things are going on in the same day. Where is Sandusfield? 5K. It's a fun 5K run walk up in the Sandusfield, Mass. At the Lower Spectacle Pond, which benefits the Sandusfield Library and Community Center. And on top of all of those, it will be the last weekend of the Housatonic Heritage Walk. So there'll be 15 events over the next Saturday and Sunday. So I didn't add them up, but the last 2 weeks, there's probably about 40 events for people to choose from. And then we go into the last week of September, which will be the same.
It's insane.
Yeah. But so I much mean, good, it, so it, many good things going on.
And you know, when you, yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Well, you think about the good causes that these things are supporting, it's incredible to think that what would happen if all these organizations didn't exist, for instance?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how would all these groups be supported or have the resources to be able to, for folks that are in need of something, whatever these different causes are, to go to this group and say, where can I get help or whatever? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just awareness. It's
awareness.
It truly is amazing.
Yeah. And the thing is, you take a nonprofit comes into existence for a need, of course, whether it's hunger or research into a disease or whatever, promote the arts. There are myriad reasons to have charities. But a nonprofit springs up for a reason. There's a cause that needs addressing. A number of volunteers is one of the key elements that come into the organization to help. And then you have the participants. And each of these elements is key because people gravitate towards an event, whether it's a sporting event like I have or some other event, because they have a connection. They have a cause that's important to them. In my particular case, Alzheimer's has affected my family, so that's an important cause to me. But I have others, SWASA and others. And everybody's the same. They all have causes that are important to them, and they support the charities that address those concerns and their volunteers that help wrangle it all. I have no idea how many nonprofits there are in our area. All I know is that I have about 300 on my website and counting, and it'll just grow and grow and grow. But I haven't even scratched that surface yet. There are hundreds, thousands of tiny organizations, large organizations, national ones, all doing good work. And it all works because it's a collaboration among volunteers who run these organizations and participants who support it. So it's all good. And to answer your question, I don't know where we would be. We'd be certainly the poorer for not having them.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, Marshall, Robin Hood Radio is a nonprofit. 5031C, and
we're a real good nonprofit.
And you know what? If we didn't have, and I've talked about this all the years that I was on the radio here, about how important this tiniest NPR station in the world is to our tri-state community that you were just talking about, Willie. Not only promoting this, but we also need funds here so that we can continue to upgrade our equipment and be able to do what we do. I still believe that you can, if you're a nonprofit, we'll put an event on for free. We'll announce your event for free. Is that still good, Marshall?
As long as you don't pay for it elsewhere, absolutely. Everybody.
Yeah.
The only ones that the rule doesn't apply to is fire departments and ambulance squads. They can just give us the stuff, and it all goes on for free. They don't have to worry about buying it.
All right, but anyway, yeah. So how would we help out your nonprofit, being the radio and your network now? It's not like Willie said, it's not just the radio station.
No, it's just you can go to our webpage and you can make a donation there. Either you can donate or the old – we had somebody donate our car donation. We had two car donations in the past month or so. And those donations came out to be a couple $1,000, believe it or not, between the two cars. Some cars we get $100 for. Some cars we get a lot of money for. But you can go there and click on the make a donation. You can donate a car. They'll come and pick it up. It's easy to do. You can make a donation online at robinhoodradio.com. Click on make a donation. Our gift certificate program, if you go to the country store from our webpage, the gift certificates are 50% off. So we have a lot of different ways people can donate, and you can do it the old-fashioned way. Make a check payable to Tri-State Public Communications and mail it to WHDD, 67 Main Street, Sharon, Connecticut.
Or walk in here and give it to somebody.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty easy.
Yeah. No, Robin Hood Radio, it's a perfect example of what I was talking about before, that collaboration among nonprofits all helping each other. I mean, it's SWASA, Sunday in the Country Food Drive helps us, and we help the Jane Lloyd Fund by hosting their site. But Robin Hood Radio helps them all, you know, by promoting their events and so forth. And that network is hugely meaningful to small nonprofits like SWASA and all the others around here.
Helps get the word out.
Milkmaids, yeah. You know, the milkmaids hang them by.
She is. All right, well, why don't we take a short break to the top of the hour, and then we'll come back and wait for now it's going to get busy, just like it did in the old days, Willie. You're not going anywhere.
Oh, no, I thought I was going to bow out. And I mean,
we still got to talk about the Brewski Fest and everything else that's going on. So you just sit back and relax and come along for the ride.
I will do
that. We got the milkmaid. The other one I told you, I forgot to tell you, the interview I have, it's not only with Jeannie Saller.
Who else is it?
It's with our good friend from the Adopt a Family program, Stacy Moore.
Oh, wow.
So we've got a fun-filled two hours left. So let's take a short break and then go to the top of the hour, and we'll be back with more Hometown Sunday Morning right here on Robin Hood Radio. Now, let's just come back.
When I get home, my old lady slowed out everything I own. She meant what she said when she wished I was dead. So where am I gonna live when I get home? I knew our road was getting kind of rocky. She said I was getting way too cocky. She waited till I was gone. She packed from dusk till dawn. So where am I gonna live when I get home?
Robin Hood Radio is WHDD AM and FM Sharon, WBSL FM Sheffield, and WLHV FM Annandale on Hudson.
Robin Hood, and his right across. We know where you live, we know where you're back. Robin Hood, slightly off, but very good.
Robin Hood Radio, slightly off, but very good.
The smallest NPR station in the nation.
It's Hometown Sunday Morning. I'm Marshall Miles.
I'm NASCAR Dave.
Farmer Paul.
Nice. Okay, Paul, you're getting back into the routine after 1 hour.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I just got a text message from one of my longtime listeners up in Copaic, Ron. He said, good morning, sir. Thank you for bringing in the warm weather up north. Great to hear you. So Good morning, and you're welcome for me bringing the warmer air up here for a couple of days. So anyway, the milkmaid's on the phone.
She's right there.
Man, we haven't heard the milkmaid in a long time. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Well, don't sound so excited.
Well,
I have to say that to you every time.
Huh? It's nice to hear you on the radio.
How are you, honey?
Good.
Everything good?
Yes.
I watched, I read your Facebook post about everything that went on at the Dutchess County Fair. It looked like it was a success.
Yes, we had great weather. We had a little bit of rain, but that was early in the morning and had a great week.
All right. So I was over to see your compadre yesterday, Stacy Moore, and I got a nice interview with her coming up a little later on.
Well, you should come during the week when there's more people there.
Well, that's probably one of the reasons I didn't come during the week, because I typically, when I come up here, I don't have a lot of time for anything. So if I only have to deal with one person, it's easy to get in and out.
Yes.
So how's everything with you? The kids, the grandkids, everybody all good and everything's going forward?
Yes, they're all good.
All right. Nothing else is new?
We just have the Pine Plains FSA Ag Fair coming up.
That's right. That's coming up the October weekend, right?
Yes, Columbus Day weekend.
That's
it's
right.
October 11th and 12th.
All right. So tell us about those events, because that's huge in Pine Plains. I love going to that event.
Okay. It starts on Friday. That's mostly for the day in school. The kids have competitions and color parades and all kinds of things, but they do have things going on at 9 o'clock. They have judging of rabbits, chickens, etc. And 11 o'clock, they have a livestock show. 11:30 is the dairy show and FSA Dairy Showmanship. The Garden Club has a flower show. The Lawn Tractor Show begins at 3:30, but at 5 o'clock is our famous roast beef dinner at the high school cafeteria.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's very well attended, as you well know.
Absolutely. Roast beef, mashed potatoes, and green beans, I think the menu was the year I went, with a lot of gravy and an outstanding dessert. And it was phenomenal.
Yes, and I recommend that you buy tickets for that, because they do, sometimes we run out of food. So the tickets are $15 for adults, $8 for children 10 years and under, and it's free for 3 years old and under. And you can order your tickets at 518-398-7181, extension 1155. And on Saturday is the big parade. That's at 9:30. And also at 9:30, the tractor pull starts. And there's a new location for that this year. And 10 o'clock is the horse showmanship. And 11 o'clock is the horse pull. And the host company has their chicken barbecue. And again, if you don't reserve a ticket, you're not going to get one. So
yeah,
if you want a ticket for that, you call 518-398-1311 and leave a message. And tickets for that are $14.
Yeah, that's a great chicken barbecue. They do a great job, the Pine Plains Fire Department.
Yes, they do, and it smells really good when you're out there walking around.
All day.
Yes.
You smell it all day. And then there's the other food vendors you have. They sell hamburgers, hot dogs, and everything else there.
Yes, the different classes have different food booths, fundraisers. We have a farmer's market. And I think we're going to have some oxen there this year, so there'll be a demonstration of that. They'll also be in the parade. So that's a new item this year. And 11:30 is the dairy showmanship, and 2 o'clock is the pet show and the cow pie raffle.
Oh, I wanted you to get me some cow pile tickets. You got those?
I can get them for you.
All right. I don't. What are they, $5?
I think they're $5 each or 3 for $10.
All right. Why don't you get me 3, and I'll give Pat Deneen $10 to stop by and give it to you.
Okay, I'll put you down.
Either that or I'll just tell Pat to go pay the 10, and I'll catch up with him later. One or the other.
So we're looking for good weather for that weekend.
Yeah, that's a huge weekend. And you know what? The support of the town and all the townspeople that come out to support the FFA program there at the high school is it truly is amazing when you go there to this event and see that. And like we say, Debbie and I, the food is to die for. Between the fire department and that roast beef dinner, and, you know, the kids, the FFA members at the roast beef dinner, they basically serve you and they pick your dishes up and they talk to you and tell you what their favorite thing to do is in the FFA program. And, you know, it's just it truly is amazing to witness it, and it's a joy to see these young people and how they're so organized and the good things that that program provides for them. And I highly recommend, if you're in the area, to go and support the FFA.
Yes. They had their first meeting, I think, last week, and they had 48 members in attendance.
Wow. Good for them, kids.
Yes.
Cool.
So hopefully they'll all stick with it.
They will. It's a great thing. So that's going to be on Columbus Day weekend, and you know, we're talking about how big Columbus Day weekend is here. It's big in every community in the tri-state area, and everybody has something going on. So don't be afraid to get in your car and go from one event to the other.
No, and maybe we'll see you there, or you're heading back south.
No, I'm heading back south this afternoon. Actually, I'm going back to the airport, and then I fly out first thing in the morning.
Oh, okay.
So you won't get to see me this trip.
Well, maybe next trip I'll get to see you.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe Stacy can, I think she took a picture yesterday, maybe she can show you that I was truly there.
Oh, and just for your information, Shannon's birthday is tomorrow.
Okay, well, we want to wish Shannon a happy birthday.
I don't know if she's listening, but...
Well, that's all right. We wished her a happy birthday on the air. You can tell her to go back and listen to it on the podcast.
I will.
All right. Hey, Debbie, it's been great talking to you, honey.
You too, and have a safe trip home.
I will. I'll let you know when I'm coming up again so that you can plan a report again, all right? But see, you're such a veteran at this radio thing now. You just talk off the cuff.
I get it from you.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Okay.
You have a great day.
You too.
The milkmaid.
Now, do you notice how much better the telephone conversation sounded? Did you notice that on the telephone?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I don't know, but I did something. I changed something, and I don't know what I did.
Well, I think my bride was going to call in from Florida. I'm not sure. She wanted the phone number. Little did she know that it was Marshall that answered her with the number. Because you know what, Marshall? I forgot totally that number.
I had to look on the wall.
Well, what is he on air now?
860-364-5141.
Oh, Willie knows it. Yeah, see, Willie knows it by hand. Because out of everybody, Marshall, Willie's the only one that still stuck with you.
That's right.
Jeannie left you. Larry left you. Paul left you. I left you. Everybody left you except for Willie.
Well, you come back and when you're around, but Paul, no. I mean, I even went to the gas station like that. Where normally I ran into Pat a couple of times. I think he saw me coming and he left early.
Paul,
I don't get up early in the morning anymore.
Well, I went to the Masonic Lodge last night for their lobster, the last lobster bake of Masonic Lodge 13 up there in Lakeville, Connecticut. And I was so glad I was able to pick this weekend to come because what they do there with their lobster things and then the programs that Masonic Lodge supports is totally awesome. But I ran into Bobby Thompson, and he says, oh, we see Paul all the time down in Armenia. He's abandoned Millerton Cumberland Farms. He goes to Armenia.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because they have a better selection of tea.
There's
correct?
That. Yes, that's part of it, certainly.
And what's the other part, Paul? Give it up.
Because I like to see Bob and Mary. They're always down there.
Yeah, so they've given up on Millerton, too.
Yeah, I think so.
That's all right, though. Millerton's still going, so it's all right.
I'm still, the loss of the supermarket, that was bad.
Oh, in Millerton?
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing we can do.
No, there's not.
I don't know what's going to happen there.
I don't either.
All right, so Willie, let's go back to you because we're waiting either my wife to call or Billy Anstett to call. You were talking about the golf tournament yesterday. You said Billy Anstett golfed in it. Not only did he coordinate the cooking of the pig and all that and the sweet corn and getting all that stuff together, and I want to thank all those volunteers who still support to this day something that we started a long time ago, Sunday in a Country Food Drive. Randy Christensen and Bob Melius and his wife cooked the pig and prepared all that. Billy and his nephew Chris coordinated all the getting the equipment up there and getting the pig. And, of course, Pat Dineen was involved in all that. Just the staple group of volunteers that always followed me, Willie, are still following Billy and Colleen. And it's the food drive is still going strong and is still going to be successful. So for that, I'm very happy to see all that happen. But anyway, Billy, like you said, was golfing in the tournament. So now Bob Melius, his wife Pat, myself, and Chris, Billy's nephew, were sitting around watching the corn boil, ready to take it out of the pot. So Billy's coming into he and his partners are coming into the ninth green. And we didn't know this because we couldn't see through the building. We're on the back side of the building. Next thing we know, here comes a golf ball over the building, right over the number nine hole, over the building, lands in the parking lot right next to us, bounces, and bounces down towards that green where you do the practice putting.
Yeah.
So Chris is in a panic. He says, "What in the heck is going on?" He didn't say it like that, folks, but I'm on the air. So anyway, I said, "Well, you know who that is, don't you?" I said, "The only person that would ever do something like that is your uncle, Billy." Hmm. Sure enough, he comes over. "Oh, did you guys find my golf ball by any chance?"
Boy.
Hit it right over the building, landed. It actually landed within 5 feet of us.
Well, I was playing with him, so I witnessed that whole thing.
Oh,
it actually bounced off the roof.
It did, but we didn't hear it bounce off the roof. We just see it come over the building, and I said, "Oh, my God."
And we had, we had heard that it bounced off the roof and hit the chef. Well, that's the word
we
got.
Well, it came within a foot of him.
I expected to see Randy Christensen with a ball stuck in the middle of his forehead
or
something.
Oh, that's fine, though. But anyway, so you guys at Salisbury Winter Sports, you still have some events coming up. And, I was talking to Kenny Barker yesterday, president of Salisbury Winter Sports Association. And, Willie, you and I had talked Friday night about what he would do because he had no clue I was going to be here. When I drove in there, he was going to tee off on that. What is that hole when you drive in? Is that the first hole when you leave the clubhouse?
About halfway in the driveway.
Driveway, yeah.
That's the first hole, yeah.
Well, that's where he was. And he was waiting for his partners that weren't getting something to drink and something to eat. And I pull in. And he didn't know it was me because I've got New Jersey plates on this car because it's a rental car. And I've got to tell you what. I wish I had had my camera out, because you ought to see the smile on his face.
Oh.
He couldn't believe it.
And was he at a loss for words for once?
He was for a minute, yeah. But then we had, to be quite honest, we really had a nice serious chat about SWASA and the food drive and different things that are going on in the area. And I got another whole perspective from him. Talking to him yesterday about how passionate he is about helping young people, whether it be not just skiing, but children in general. He is a very passionate person.
Yeah, and he's always, it seems almost counterintuitive because you know Kenny and his personality. He has this fake gruff, you know, demeanor about him, but kids love him. And it's most evident, of course, around the ski jumps when the junior jumpers are there. But no, he loves kids, and they know it, and they respond to him. So yeah, no, it's something I've known about him, but it's not something that most people would realize.
No, you wouldn't think about it. So the one nice thing that we ended our conversation, the last 3 minutes of it, swearing at each other, telling each other we were.
Of course.
Different terms that we've always used.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all good, and then everything was good in the world.
That's
right.
He went
on golfing, and I went in to check on the pig. And
the planets and realigned themselves in that last 3 minutes.
And do whatever. But he also brought up that he wanted to warn me that he had twisted Randy up a little bit, who did an outstanding job on that pig
yesterday.
Yeah,
he did indeed.
Oh, my God.
It was the best ever.
And the problem we had with the pig yesterday was there wasn't a lot of fat on it, and there wasn't a lot of stuff that they could get pulled pork out of. And so that's why there was a minimal amount of pulled pork, but boy, the pork that I tasted was, he did it right to perfection.
Moist, tender, everything you would want. Yeah, no, it was perfect.
But Ken, he said, you want to be forewarned that I mentioned to Randy about the Brewski Fest, and I had forgot all about the Brewski Fest. And, you know, that's just around the corner where we,
yes, it is,
where the food drive does bratwurst and sauerkraut and burgers and dogs and stuff. And I said, so why did you twist them up? He said, I didn't mean to twist them up. I just was saying to him, don't forget, in a couple of weeks you're going to be cooking bratwurst. So I don't know if it means Randy's has plans for that weekend or what, but Billy will have to deal with it. So that's a good thing for Billy. Let him deal with it.
Yep.
Anyway, let's talk about some of the events you got coming up, because you guys always gear up this time of year just like everybody else does.
Yeah, for a winter organization, we seem to have a lot of non-winter stuff going on. Of course, we had our golf tournament yesterday. And on the Sunday of Salisbury Fall Festival weekend, we have the 10th annual Brewski Fest, which has become a really popular event over the last 10 years. We hold it over at the ski jumps. If you've never been to the ski jumps ever, or only in the winter, it's quite a sight to behold, even in this time of year, especially in the fall, in October when the leaves are changing. It's just a singular sight, you know, with the three ski hills and the tower and everything, and it's a beautiful place. This is not, I have to say that this is not exactly our event. The event is actually State Line Wine and Spirits in Canaan. They sponsor the event. They put it on. They're the ones that get all the 30-some-odd breweries to come. And we are the beneficiary. We have it at our site, and we glean the benefits of the proceeds. But it's State Line Wine and Spirits all the way, and we're totally grateful to them for the work they put in. They put in a lot of work. They design the posters. They do all the legwork and everything. And we just couldn't do it without them. I mean, it takes a package store to put on a beer tasting, because they're the ones who have the contacts in the beer world. You know, they can strong arm them into coming on a weekend. And anyway, they've done a great job for us, and we have live music, and you know, Kenny gets all the corn stalks and pumpkins from Daisy Hill over in Millerton, and people take away pumpkins at the end of the day when they leave, and they have, like I said, there are 30-some breweries involved, probably 200 or 300 different beer types to choose from. And among those breweries are cider companies, spiked sodas. There's something for almost everyone. And of course, Sunday in the food and the country food drive will be cooking for us. Maybe not Randy, but one or two of you.
Somebody will be.
Somebody will be. And this is all part of the Salisbury Fall Festival weekend. There's a lot going on, and starting Friday, actually, I think there's the Scarecrow contest is going on.
Yeah, Jeannie's going to talk about that interview that
good.
We did with her. So
so I'll leave that to her. But we have that going on. It's if you buy a ticket at the door, it's $35, which gets you you get a tasting glass from Swasa, and you can sample all these beverages for the duration. It goes from 1 to 4. And but you can get tickets in advance for $30, $5 off, and you can get them. I think you can order them online. You can get them at the Ledgebrook Spirit Shop or the State Line Wine and Spirits in Canaan. They're both owned by Chris Batista, who's who was a very generous man, very generous to Suassa, and he's the one that organized all this. Or you can go to brewskifest.com and get your tickets online. And then, after that, our next event is going to be the Ski Swap. That's a big deal. We're lucky to be able to use the Lakeville Firehouse facilities in Lakeville. That's another collaboration we have with a nonprofit. I think we make out better in our collaborations than the other, but because the Lakeville Fire Company, they have to find a home for the trucks. We take up several bays and fill it with all kinds of used ski and skate equipment. We have a guy, a jobber, I guess you call him, who comes from Springfield with a whole bunch of new equipment, ski clothing and hats and gloves and skis and snowshoes and at very reasonable prices. And it's become a big, big deal. People bring in their it's the first, I can't remember the date, but it's the first Saturday of December. It might be the 7th. I'm not sure.
No, it might be. No.
Whatever that first Saturday is in December, and then the day before, people bring in the equipment they want to sell. We tag it. We put the price on it. They get all their information. And then on Saturday, the day of the sale, there's this flurry of activity that you just can't believe. The doors open at 8. There are already lines of people waiting to get in, and it goes to noon, and all heck breaks loose. And it's because people can get such good deals. You can get a set of downhill skis with bindings on it that probably cost $1,000 for 100. You can get ski boots that cost a couple hundred bucks for 25 bucks. Same with high-end hockey skates, cost a couple hundred bucks. You can get them for $25, $30. So for families especially, with kids who are growing, you know, especially their feet, you know, every year they're buying them new footwear, whether it's ski boots or skates. You can sell your outgrown equipment reasonably and buy good used equipment and maybe come out with a wash and all of a sudden you've upgraded your kids' equipment. Anyway, it's a hugely popular event. It's a major fundraiser for Suassa, and that's one. That's the event that comes after the brewski. And then Christmas week, we'll have our two-day junior ski jumping clinic where we get kids who are interested in ski jumping either for the first time or maybe they've been jumping for a couple of years. Anyway, they all come, and for 2 days they get coached and taught the fundamentals of ski jumping and the safety aspects, and we feed them lunch. And if they are engaged by it, typically in ski jumping, because it's such a quirky sport, you know, we get 30, sometimes 40 kids, which in some sports would be considered a failure. You know, if you have a soccer clinic, you expect to get a couple hundred kids. Well, ski jumping is a different kind of sport, and if you get 30, 40 kids, that's a big deal. And we always get interest. And a few of them, maybe a dozen, 15, after that two-day clinic, will maintain interest, and we will train them for the rest of the season for free. That's what we do. We provide them with jumping equipment for free. If they want, they can travel. This is the crazy thing about a sport. If you've never been on skis before, jumping skis, within the same season, you can learn how to ski jump and travel to Lake Placid, the home of two Winter Olympics, and compete against your peers in ski jumping. It's just wild. But anyway, that's what we do. It's all about the kids. And of course, we support downhill ski after-school programs at four different grade schools as well. But anyway, that two-day clinic comes. It's the Friday and Saturday, I think, of Christmas vacation week. And then after that, Dave, it's Jump Fest again in February.
Dennis back on.
Yeah.
But that's amazing that you do four grade schools. I mean, just in the last couple of years, you added Weebatuck,
yep.
I think, to your list.
Yep,
and
3 or 4 years
in New York side.
Yep. Yep.
So I mean, you're branching out a little.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, we're not bound by state lines or anything. You know, when it comes to the kids who ski jump, it's not just Salisbury or Canaan kids. It's as far as you're willing to travel to get there, we'll teach you. And the grade schools, we added Weeptuck, like you said, and to the amount that our budgets allow, we could even go further. We're always interested in helping out the kids because the after-school programs are quite popular, but skiing, downhill skiing is an expensive sport. And to be involved in these after-school programs, you have to rent equipment and the hills give a discount. But also lessons and so forth. It can be a couple $100, and some families it's just beyond their means.
Yep.
So that's where we step in. We provide scholarships for these kids. So, yeah, we're always looking to help out the kids in the area.
So my wife sent a message. She said, Willie is such a great speaker, and he doesn't miss a beat.
Well, bless her heart.
So I guess that means that Paul and I and everybody else miss a beat, but you don't.
Well, I'm
what
grateful.
Is that all about?
I don't know.
I had to
tell Christine thank you.
I have to question her when I get back home and see what that's all about.
See, it's just understood that you guys are great. You know?
Oh, for, is that me, what it is?
I'm the relative newcomer to this world.
Well, anyway, Willie, is that about it? Is that all we have?
I think that's about it. The next thing is the Brewski Fest. That's the 13th of October, Sunday
of
October.
That's going to be a huge weekend, like it always is.
We pray for good weather. We're tented, so it's rain or shine. You can sample beer and stay dry even if it's raining. But, of course, there's nothing like a sunny, warm October day in the northwest corner for sure.
Now, and you can get a bratwurst, you can get a hot dog, you can get a hamburger or a cheeseburger to go along with your different brew things. But what's really nice about that, if you're into the different brews, you really get to talk to the brewers themselves if you want to ask any kind of technical questions and so forth.
Yeah.
And by the way, you had mentioned Friday about the new brewery went in the old Canaan train station.
Mm-hmm.
And they were at the truck pull in Falls Village yesterday, mm-hmm. And I sampled one of their brews, and it's very good.
They're all good. The surge of new microbreweries is something even in this area. I think it's been up for about a year, the Great Falls Brewery, the one you spoke of, and the Norbrook Brewery up in Colebrook is open since then, and just a few weeks ago, one opened up in Winsted. I can't remember the Red Barn, something like that. So they're popping up all over, and they're popular. And the reason the beer is so good is because it's fresh. I mean, it's not sitting in a tank in a warehouse somewhere, you know, for weeks before you can buy it commercially. It's all fresh, and they're all enthusiastic, and a lot of these local breweries will be represented at the Brewski. So, and as you said, our event is small enough so that you can take the time to talk to the experts. You don't have to stand in line with the masses that go to some of these bigger beer tasting events. It's small enough so that you can walk up to the table and ask for a beer and drink it. You don't have to stand in line, and as soon as you get one, go stand in another line. So, it's almost an intimate kind of setting compared to some of the big cattle call kind of beer tasting events around the state.
All right. Well, Willie, thanks for the free meal yesterday. I think there was isn't there a charge if you just come up for the dinner at Swassa?
Yeah, but I think you deserved a freebie.
Because I watched Chris put the corn in the water, and then I held the lid while he took it out when it was done.
Well,
so,
see,
I mean, that qualifies.
That made you a volunteer.
Okay.
See, actually, Paul, unbeknownst to you, Paul paid ahead of time for
it. Yeah, I'm sure he did, yeah. Oh, and you know what? Paul, my wife commented on you, too. Now
yes?
Hold on, I'm going to say.
I hope it was something nice.
It absolutely was. I can see Paul is impressed. Just like always. When Willie came on, you get a sad face on.
I don't have a sad face.
Well, you don't right now because he's here in person. But when he's on the phone,
see, this
it's
is
like
this is why this is why Rant and Raven Larry didn't come in because
he's thrown
he
under
used
the bus.
To walk outside the home in the car.
It is what it is. I mean,
He used to just go out, get in his Subaru, and go home.
I didn't say a word when you called him Kenny Baker or Barker instead of Kenneth S. Barker.
Oh, that's right, Kenneth S.
S. Barker. That's right.
Oh, we forgot the S.
That's right. I'm sure he'll have something to say about
that. Oh my gosh, I feel so bad now.
I walked away. I did confirm that the first Saturday is December 7th.
So. Oh, thank you, Paul. Yes. Thank you.
And that's...
we have a fact checker here. Wow.
Yeah.
You have to check facts now all the time. It's
is that D-Day?
Really,
what's isn't that? Isn't the 7th D-Day? What was
oh,
the 7th?
No, Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. Pearl Harbor Day. All right. Well, Willie, congratulations on a golf tournament, and keep up the thank good you. Work for all the young people in the tri-state area and beyond. But once again, your Brewski Fest is coming up on the Columbus Day weekend. And
that's during the Salisbury Fall Festival.
And it's during the Salisbury Fall Festival, which in a little while we'll hear from Jeannie Salader, even though she doesn't like us anymore.
No, it's me she doesn't like. She doesn't even do the Tri-State Chamber reports anymore.
Yeah, well, you know why? Because now that she's gained notoriety...
I wouldn't say notoriety is a wrong word. It should be prominence.
Oh, prominence. There you go.
Notoriety.
You see, you and Larry have much bigger vocabulary than I do.
Notoriety seems like she was a criminal, and she got criminal notoriety.
Well, now that she has notoriety, or however you pronounce it, prominence, she doesn't have to call in anymore, Marshall. She's way beyond that. Yeah. And Willie, he wants to comment so bad, but he's not gonna.
I haven't heard from her since the Murphy Open.
Yeah.
Well, Marshall, you remember who the loyal people are now. Right?
I do. I do.
All right, folks, you're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning here on Robin Hood Radio. Let's take a short break, play a tune, and I'll text message my wife and Billy Anstett because I can't remember the dates and times of everything that they're doing for the food drive. So. Now I'm starting to get up against it. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is. Nothing ever changes. So once again, thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
She's a little complicated. She make up mind just to change it. Kind of girl that keeps you waiting. Waiting around. She likes to get her toes done bright red. She's always reapplying her lipstick. Money River Bank, she's a thirsty last out. She's got something I can't figure out that everybody's talking about. She got the blue jeans spinning on tight. Everybody wants on a Saturday night. She got the never the same, the sun one man that she pouring down rain. And she do whatever she wants. And when she moves, every jaw dropping. I do, but I don't want to stop. I want whatever she's got. Tell you mine before you brought it. What you thought your plan was sparking to figure out where your heart is. So twist it up. Have you spending every weekend and every penny you've been keeping just to figure out what she's thinking? Thinking is love. She got the blue jeans spinning on tight. Everybody wants on a Saturday night. She got the never the same, the sun one man that she pouring down rain. And she do whatever she wants. And when she moves, every jaw a dropping. I do, but I don't want her to stop. I want whatever she's got. Yeah, I want whatever she's got. She got me hanging on the ledge, on the edge. Everybody wants on a Saturday night. She got the mood ring. She never the same. I want. She got the blue.
It's Sunday morning, and it's not Sunday in the country because I'm Marshall Miles.
I'm NASCAR Dave. It's hometown Sunday morning.
That's exactly right. How come Farmer Paul didn't say anything?
I'm waiting for the cue.
So my wife also just sent me a message that Paul normally used to do the crossword puzzles from the New York Times Magazine that I borrowed out of somebody's newspaper.
And he doesn't do it anymore because nobody borrows it for him.
That's right.
I'm sitting here doing it.
Yeah, he did it because he's into, this is what it's come to, Marshall. He borrows it himself instead of somebody else borrowing it.
Isn't that called stealing?
No, he always takes it back.
I put it back.
He leaves it on the train so somebody else can take it. Then it's their problem. I don't know. We should talk to Butch Anderson, see if that's
He's running for re-election.
Yeah, I see a whole bunch of folks that we used to have on the air with us. Brad Kendall, mm-hmm. Mark Molinaro.
Yep. Greg Pulver.
I see Rob Cooper's running. Yep. I see Lana Morrison's running in Millerton, too, for the village thing, or maybe the town of Northeast.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's interesting to see that people are still involved with politics up here, and they want to make their towns and villages better. It's just pretty cool. And I was talking to Marshall earlier. Marshall, how about that transfer station, the Sharon Lakeville or Salisbury transfer station? That's really building up. It looks good.
It's coming together, and hopefully they'll get it open before the snow flies. But another thing we should talk about and give credit to is the Sharon Green Committee, who work with the Board of Finance, who work with the Board of Selectmen, to totally regrade, redrain, put granite curbing on the Sharon side, set up better parking, and also going to resod the green. They are way ahead of schedule, and I also heard that they are well under budget for it. And it's a mammoth project, and they got all the water mains done, all the drainage done, and all the curbing's in now. They'll be spreading the new dirt that they'll replant and seed. They'll finish up the paving on Upper Main Street, and they're going to be well ahead of time.
How cool is that?
This contracting crew has just done an amazing job.
It's a nice project. I like the idea of the granite curbing. I wish the state would do the lower part of the roadway, because that would really set this green. That would set the Sharon Green off.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody who parks when the granite curbing's in, it's not like the old days. If you rub your tire up against granite curbing, you're going to buy a new tire.
Oh yeah, you're done.
It's like a hot knife through butter. So everybody's going to learn how to park.
Yeah, but it really makes it look sweet.
Sets it out.
And the grading they did once they did all that to make the green more accessible, really.
And it's going to handle the flow. It was here whenever it rained heavy. It was like a literal waterfall that came down from the top of School Top Hill down through and then down West Main Street, like a river, because West Main Street has no drains in it themselves. The state didn't put any drains in West Main Street. So it was really like it turned into a river, and it was the green's going to be so much better for it.
Yeah.
And like I said, this crew is amazing. They even were able to have the Sharon on the Green Arts and Crafts Fair because the crew cleaned up, tidied up, covered everything up, and they were having, so nothing went unused on the green this year.
Yeah, everybody that I've talked to in the few hours I've been here said what a great job this contracting company has done to make all that stuff happen, and they've done it the correct way. So, yeah.
And the transfer station is going to be nice to have when it's done.
Yeah, it looks well compared to what we have, what you guys have now. If you look at the structural part of what's been put up, it's going to be quite amazing by the looks of it.
Yeah, it's coming to fruition. I think it's been, 6 years?
Oh, yeah, it's been quite a while.
And I always remind people, when these construction projects go this long, the George Washington Bridge was built in 3 years.
Yeah.
The World Trade Center originally was built in, I think, 2.5 years, the two towers. Because it goes back to when the Falls Village Pool was being put in. It took like 5.5, 6 years.
Yeah.
And I always used to bust them because... But this is good. This is good for this area. We needed the new transfer station.
Yeah, look at the talking of Falls Village. Look at the fire department. How long it took them guys to actually build that facility. They worked tirelessly for years and years.
And
now look at what they have there. It's phenomenal. It's great.
And without a major hit on the tax bill either, might I say. So.
Well, and that's always a bonus when it happens. So October 12th, I think, is the Saturday of Columbus Day weekend, Marshall.
Yeah.
I read that the American Legion Post 126 right here in Sharon is going to be doing their world-famous roast beef dinner with mashed potatoes, gravy, green beans. I think they have a salad with it. And it's an all-you-can-eat affair. And I didn't look at the price of it. It was normally 12. It could have went up a little bit.
I don't think so. And it normally sells out right away.
Yeah, it normally sells out. So you want to get there early. And that's like we were talking with Willie. That weekend, there's a ton of stuff going on. So
I think Mr. Anstatt might be on the line.
Wow, what a bonus that would be. He can bail me out for
right
a change.
Time.
Good morning.
How are you doing, guys?
Good, Billy. How are you?
I'm good. If I lose you, it means I have no cell service. So,
doesn't mean you're hanging up on us.
Exactly.
Okay. So Sunday in a Country Food Drive has a bunch of stuff coming up that we need to talk about.
Okay. So on the 13th of October, we're going to be over at Daisy Hill. Cooking hot dogs, hamburgers, french fries, and that starts at 11, and we'll be there from 11 to 3.
Okay.
And we've been doing this for quite a number of years now, and it's always a good time.
It's a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely good time.
Now, they're going to have their hay rides, and it's like a family weekend. Don't they have hay rides, and they have a pumpkin toss, and you can buy your pumpkins and gourds and corn stalks and all that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep, the whole nine yards. So they're gearing up, and we had a few days this week with frost, so everybody's got their pumpkins out.
And you know what's – it's so – the relationship that the food drive – had over the years with Daisy Hill Farm is truly a phenomenal thing, because not only do they allow you guys to do that and raise some funds that particular day, but they have jars out throughout the whole season, right?
Yeah, they people throw their change in and things after they purchase, and they've always been very generous to the food drive. Great group of people there at Daisy Hill, and all our customers, of course. It's really nice that that they do that, and certainly helps us for the end of the year.
I was so happy to go back there and order my sweet corn to take back to Florida yesterday, and I truly miss when you walk in there and you see all the fresh vegetables and the pumpkins and the gourds and the plants and stuff. It just it was nice for me to see. So I hope you guys have a great weekend, and they're always very generous to the food drive.
Yeah, I know we will, and the the again, all their customers and the people in the area that that come there support us and Daisy Hill. It's a good thing. We love that event, and we're looking forward to it.
All right, now the following week you've got something coming up. You really you're stretching yourself pretty thin. I don't think I ever did it that much.
Well, you did, except then you got in your van.
Oh, I got to hear that again today, too?
You didn't hear Van Gogh much yesterday, did you?
I heard it when I got in the, after the golf ball hit me in the head that came over the ninth green. I had to get in the car and go to the hospital. You don't know anything about that, do you?
I don't know anything about that. Not at all. I don't know who would have done that.
I don't either.
Yeah, I think they were trying to hit it into the corn bucket.
Yeah, it was a wayward golf ball.
I think it was like the squirrels up there that dropped those nuts out of the trees.
Yeah. All right. So what do you got
on
after?
On the 19th of October, as of right now, we're having our chicken cook-off. And this will be the 16th annual. And we're having it at the Legion.
In Millerton?
The Millerton Legion. The festivities start around 9. That's when all the cookers come in and start getting ready to get their chicken prepped and start the grills and the rest. So I believe pickup is going to be at 1 o'clock. There'll be more details to follow, but that's the 19th of October. And this year, we are also adding ribs. So there'll be a couple of different ways we're going to do it. But anyways, ribs and chicken, and that's going to be on the 19th of October.
Wow. Have you set prices for that yet or not really?
We have not. We're actually having a meeting on Thursday, so we'll put our prices together at that point and all the details, and we'll get back to Marshall with that, and so that we know what's going on, so everyone else does too.
Well, that's always a good event. That was the first fundraiser that we ever did for the food drive, and I've got to tell you what, it's been hugely successful every year we've done it, rain or shine, and to see the different teams come out and compete against one another for a trophy or whatever we give them, it's just a bunch of people coming together to support the cause, and that it's the Legion supports us, and it's a good all around thing.
Yeah, and Jen and Nijak have taken that over, and they're doing a great job with it. So, like I said, more details to come this week. So we'll get it. We'll bring it to fruition. We've changed the date from last year, so we're working on a few more details.
All right. So, where is the next meeting going to be held, Billy? Is it going to be at 52 May?
Well, I that's what I was requesting. Pat really wanted to have it there.
He did?
So we'll see what happens.
All right, well, just keep me informed of that, would you? I questioned him about that today, and my ears are still ringing.
I bet they are. So the next event would be November 9th. We are taking out the students of Maplebrook School. We'll be going to the businesses in several communities, and those young kids do a great job, and they get out and get the message across of what it is the food drive is doing and the needs.
That's actually turned into what I would say is the biggest fundraising event that we have of the year, at least the last couple of years. I mean, we don't have one single event that we do, whether we do a chicken cook-off or go at Daisy Hill. Those kids typically in 7 hours are able to generate upwards of $6,000-$8,000 in a day. So that has really that relationship with Maple Brook School that we started years ago with your wife, with Colleen's recommendation. Would it be all right if the students got involved, because it works with our program, which we're trying to teach our kids the students how to give back to their community and get involved with their communities. Really has become a marriage in my mind that, much like SWASA, that truly took off and has been hugely successful for our fundraising events anyway. And I'm glad that years ago I wasn't afraid to say to Colleen, no, I don't think that'll work. I welcomed it when she asked me, and it truly has become the major fundraiser of our program.
Yeah, it's a great thing, you know, like you said, with the students. And, you know, their experiences with, you know, going out and for good cause and helping out the communities here. And when they go home, they're able to, you know, continue that on.
Yeah, and it's a win-win situation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we have a few other events that are not calendared yet. A wine tasting and possibly a casino night. Details to follow. There's some other things that have been talked about. We may do a Cinnabon sale. So anyways, there's more to come, and we'll let Marshall know and the rest as things, you know, get detailed and come about.
Well, let me know if you have that Cinnabon thing. That sounds like something I might want to come back up for.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Anyway, I would hope that you would let me know everything that's going on in case I do want to come back. I might come back for the chicken barbecue. You never know.
Well, you know, it's on the 19th, so you better book your flight now.
Well, anyway, so Billy, what did you and the committee set for a goal for 2019?
40,000.
40,000. And now how many folks were you able to feed last year?
Well, we did 600 turkeys at Thanksgiving, and we did the same at Christmas, and a little after Christmas we do a couple other pantries. So a little over 1,200 turkeys.
Wow.
And dry goods for, I believe, four of the pantries.
Now, did you tell me that there's a new pantry in Canaan, was it? No.
Pine Plains.
Pine Plains.
And I don't really have the details on that. I just spoke to the person yesterday, so we're gonna talk again. But I'm not sure where it's even set up at this moment. But it was kind of a last minute phone call, so I'll get some more details on that this week.
Well, I've got to tell you, yesterday you guys were able to cook the pig and do the thing for SWASA. Of course, we talked about doing the bratwurst and stuff the same weekend you do the Daisy Hill thing, and that's always cool. But we've got to thank Randy. He did a tremendous job on that pork yesterday, along with Bob and Pat Melius, and of course your nephew Chris, and of course we've got to mention Pat Deneen, who went up and helped you pick the pig up and bring it back down and get it secured.
Oh yeah, really, he single-handedly picked that pig up, threw it in my van.
it was a good job by all. I thought the pork was outstanding.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. No, he did a great job, and thanks to everyone that helped out, and I think everybody had a good time yesterday from what I heard.
Yeah, and Willie said they did, so, I mean, it is, you know, it is what
weather,
it is.
You couldn't ask for better weather. End of September here, snowing the end of September is beautiful.
Yep, So you guys got a busy fundraising events coming up, and you probably won't be able to hear the interview from Stacy Moore that I did regarding the Adopt-A-Family for this year. But she told me how hard you worked to make her program a success, because she had changed it up and wanted gift cards and stuff like that.
And
she said you were a trooper. She said, hopefully we won't have to do that to him again this year in the interview. So I'm just giving you a heads up that I instructed her to keep you twisted right up as much as she could.
Well, just I wouldn't expect anything less of you, Dave.
send Billy in as many directions in one day as you can, because then Chris can finish the work that he has to do for the business, and Billy's out of his hair. I said, just keep him motivated. So she said, I don't think Billy's going to appreciate that. So that's one part of the interview you won't hear today, because you're on the road in a vehicle. But anyway, once again, Billy, how would somebody donate to the food drive if they can't come to, say, the Chicken Cook-Off or Daisy Hill, or they would just like to give back? Because you still serve about, 13 food pantries in the area?
Yes. And the address is P.O. Box 789, Millerton, New York, 12546. Sunday in the Country Food Drive.
Okay.
Also, and phone, I'll give you the cell number, 845-206-5938.
And you can leave a message on that phone, right, I think?
Absolutely.
Cool. And so the goal this year is 40,000 to try to feed another 600 people both at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And when you think about that, how far the whole program came from two turkeys to that, and then you listen to Willie and you talk about needs in the area for people who need all different kinds of services, that truly is incredible to think something like that could have grown that big and is so important to our community. Because when you deliver the food to these pantries who give it out to the actual recipients, the pantry people love it, because they don't have to go out and hustle and try to get enough money to do all this. So it's a win-win situation, really.
It certainly is, and kudos to those at the pantries. You know, they're in the trenches day in and day out. So you really got to take your hats off to them. There's a lot to do that goes on, not just at Thanksgiving and Christmas.
No, and that's the thing. They do it every single week.
Every week, and to coordinate all that, it's a tremendous amount of work, and gotta give them kudos. So anyways, we're going to continue the mission and do the best we can to help those in the community.
Well, you're doing a great job, you and Colleen, and all your new volunteers. You're getting a bunch of new volunteers involved there, and that's always a good sign. So
Absolutely.
They'll all keep it going, and I think it's going to be another successful year for Sunday in the Country Food Drive, and certainly my wife and I will be supporting you in any way we can. So good luck to you, and congratulations. And once again, thank you and Colleen for keeping a dream alive for my wife and I.
You're welcome, Dave. And the upside thermometers are up. So upside-down thermometers are up, and you'll see the progress as the year goes on.
All right, so keep that going forward. Once again, folks, Sunday in a Country Food Drive, it's a nonprofit 501c. Billy gave you the mailing address, P.O. Box 789, Millerton, New York, 12546, or he also gave you the phone number that you can call and leave a message. And certainly we totally appreciate all your support to help those less fortunate folks that may need some food for the upcoming holiday season. And Stacy talked again about the good relationship that the Adopt a Family and Sunday in the Country Food Drive has had. And that, Bill, that was your brainchild and her brainchild after you took the torch over. And when she told me a little bit about what she was able to do last year, it was it's a total success story, to be quite honest with you. And it's it really is a good thing all the way around. So from the from my own heart and my wife, we want to thank you once again for everything that you do, and good luck with the $40,000. Once again, folks, Sunday in the Country Food Drive, P.O. Box 789, Millerton, New York, 12546.
Okay, guys.
All right, Billy, have a good trip back, and I'll give you a call later on.
All right, I'll be in touch, Marshall.
Okay, Bill.
Thank you.
He's going to be in touch, Marshall. What do you think about that?
I think he'll be in touch.
Well, so is Jeannie. We're going to be in touch, but she's not in touch no more.
Yeah, but at least I've had contact with him.
Well, let's do Jeannie. Do you have Jeannie's interview up?
No, we're going to – next hour we're going to do Stacy first. We were saving Jeannie for last.
Oh, we are? Oh, it's not the top of the hour yet?
It is.
Yeah. Well, let's do the top of the hour break, play a song, and then come back and do those interviews.
We'll do.
Take care, guys.
Take care, Bill. Uh-oh.
Robin Hood Radio is WHDD AM and FM Sharon, WBSL FM Sheffield, and WLHV FM Annandale on Hudson.
The smallest NPR station in the nation.
Seems like every other week you've got a meeting waiting there. Business must be booming, or could something else be moving in the air up there? You say that it's important for our future. An executive on his way up has got
misty sunrise in my hometown, rows of cotton about knee high. Mrs. Baker down the dirt road, still got clothes out on the line. Irwin Nichols there with Judge Lee, playing checkers at the gym. When I dream about the Southland, this is where it all begins. From Carolina down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama, Roll Tide roll. Muddy water, Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers to me. Carry on, carry on, sweet southern comfort, carry on. Catching catfish on the river, chasing fireflies by the creek, kissing Gary Williams.
and sister on the porch homecoming week, with rusty cars and weeping willows, keeping watch out in the yard. Just a snapshot of down home Dixie, could be anywhere you are. In Carolina or in Georgia, open arms are waiting for you. Louisiana, yellow rose of San Antonio. Arkansas, Mississippi, old man river whispers to me. Carry on, carry on. I sit here, I'm surrounded by these priceless memories. I don't have to think about it, there's no place I'd rather be than Carolina or in Georgia. Smell the jasmine and magnolia, sleepy sweet home Alabama, road.
It's Hometown Sunday morning. I'm Marshall Miles.
NASCAR Dave.
Farmer Paul.
There Farmer goes. Paul.
Farmer Paul is there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Farmer Paul's in the house.
All right, so we're going to do an interview?
Yeah, we've got Stacy Moore all lined up. Now, where'd you run to Stacy?
I went to her office. She's gearing up right now, too, with her business, the printing business, because all the holiday stuff is coming up. So she's flat out, and she was working all day Saturday, but she took a few minutes out to talk to me, so I appreciate that. All right, once again, folks, you're out with NASCAR Dave on Saturday, the 21st, I think. Don't quote me on that one because I'm not sure. But now I'm over with my dear friend Stacy Moore, and I'm going to have Stacy talk a little bit about the upcoming Adopt a Family program, which she's run for a long, long time, probably almost since its inception. She's been involved with it. Very successful program here in the town of Northeast, and so we'll let her talk about it. Good morning, or good afternoon now, Stacy.
Good afternoon, NASCAR.
And you're working on Saturday.
Yeah, what can I say?
Somebody's got to do it.
That's right. Got to get the work done. Right. Yeah, it's been over 25 years. That
wow.
We've done the adoptive family, and like I say every year, I jumped in because of Marilee and the Astor Head Start program. She always did what she could for the kids at the holiday, and back when it started, it was probably 20, 25 kids. Now we're close to 300 kids, and we cover everybody in the Pine Plains, and we have a Tuck school district, so we come south from Wasaic up through Amenia, Millerton, Pine Plains, out to Elizaville, wherever the school buses go for those two school districts, with our goal of being warm winter clothing and three toys per child. The annex is always filled with toys because of our generous, generous neighborhood. People can start dropping off toys. We really don't have the annex until after Thanksgiving to start setting up. But people have already brought in toys. Our first toys are here. Our hurdle last year, which will be again this year, is that Saperstein's is closed.
Yeah. What'd you do last year? I forgot now.
Well, we made a wonderful connection with Sunday in the Country. And by working with Billy and the gang and people like yourself, we were able to coordinate gift cards, or what I would call gift cards. And if a family was not adopted out to get their clothing and their toys, we gave them a $100 per child gift card to Tractor Supply, Label Shopper, Fresh Town, at the time Millerton Market, and Peck's Market in Pine Plains.
Nice.
So the hopes would be that, say, a family of five they had the choice of, because you can't get clothing everywhere, but between the label shopper, Tractor Supply, and Dollar General in Amenia, there was a pretty good selection. If not, that $500, we hope Mom and Dad could buy the groceries at, say, Fresh Town for the holiday or for a month, maybe $500, and then they'd have the money to get the clothing themselves. And they would still come over to the annex, Mom and Dad, and pick out three toys per child, and then there's all kinds of free stuff, you know, there. And it was a big success. We were able to take care of all of our families yet again, and we probably spent the same amount in the gift cards that we would have, say, at Saperstein's.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a new one in town that's Meta 22. It's a children's clothing store down at the Light in Millerton. They've just opened. We haven't checked out, but she's reached out and wants to support the program.
How cool is that?
Yeah, and she's been, we've been putting her in touch with Lewis at Saperstein's, I think, to get a sense of clothing, you know, jackets, shoes, because like anything else, nothing's cheap. And if Mom and Dad, you know, have $100, it doesn't go too far. But she's willing to do the same kind of deal as Lewis did, which is give them $125 to shop with and give us the discounted rate. So we'll be connecting in the next month to see what it is she can supply, what it is she can offer, and hopefully Mom and Dad can go there and shop for clothing as well as Label Shopper and Tractor Supply. And we're, you know, our mission, no matter what, is that every dollar raised is spent locally. You know, we've been asked by our backer, if you want to call it, Berkshire DeConnick Foundation, that there's other places in Massachusetts or other stores where we could get clothing. And that's not what we do. We put it back where we got it from, which is, you know, our local grocery stores or any other store that's going to offer Mom and Dad and the kids something.
Well, how about, that's a pretty nice way for that lady with that new business to introduce herself to the community,
well,
too, though, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a double-edged thing. It's a win-win, really.
Right, because now if you go through Millerton, there's a lot of new stores. There's a lot of new bodies, you know. It's changing, you know, constantly changing. So, yeah, we want to help her, and she'll help us. You know, there's limits. It's like no grocery store right now. You got to adjust. But mm-hmm. we have such a small window of time that once those kids start signing up, mid-October, we've got to mid-December to get it done.
30
so,
days.
Yeah, the gift cards were huge. Mom and Dad's actually loved the idea of that, to do their own thing, and then they'd come back and go to the annex and pick out the toys, and those are always winners. I mean, the people, the thought that goes into buying toys for us. And Oblong Jr., Dick has always been a supporter of us. So if people buy for us, he gives discount. If we need anything, he gives discount. He's got toys. That's no problem. Tractor Supply last year, we could not keep enough of those farm toys and those farm sets and those monster trucks or whatever they sold down there. I went down for 3 separate shipments.
Wow.
And practically bought them out. The kids love that, or the parents love buying that. Still, board games, Legos. It's tough because, you know, everything's technology. The kids are all on their phones and playing their video games, but we do not promote that. We're all about anything that puts Mom and Dad down at the table or the kids at the table to learn, interact outside. Billy Nichols and Rob Cooper, truckload, backs up. Everything, soccer ball, football, baseball, anything sports, they loaded up.
Yeah.
We ran out of balls last year, we got more balls.
I don't know who has more fun, the kids that get those presents or those two guys that go and get them.
I think those two guys have a pretty good time.
That's what I'm thinking, too, yeah.
Yep, I mean, so many organizations, the teachers at the schools, the businesses that do business with me, they'll start calling. When do you want stuff? What do you need? And with no exaggeration, those cars and trucks are backed up to the annex, and we're just, wow. I mean, last year, Jessica, Sharon Valley Tavern, had a fundraiser, calls me up, said, I got some stuff for you. Can you meet me? Sure. And when I met her, it was like the car at the circus, where the clowns keep coming out. Yeah, and the toys and the bikes. And I said to her, actually, I said to her, was NASCAR at the party? Because he loves doing his bikes.
Yeah.
But we've never not said we could use or we need something that it always just appears, Dave.
It's amazing.
It just appears.
Well, I think it's because of your theory about raising the money in the community and buying from the local community vendors, who everybody goes to all the time anyway. So, yeah. I mean, for support, and they're so gracious to support all of us. The least we can do is go and support their businesses.
We've got to take care of one another. Like I said, the times are changing. If we're not circulating our monies and our support and our love within our own community, it's not going to stay together.
No.
It's not going to work. And we see, you know, I don't want to get into the politics, but last year our numbers were down, which, you know, makes you kind of encouraged. You'd like to think there's less needing this help, because when you look at historically 250 to 312 for the last 6-7 years, that's a lot of children in need. But with the integration, or whatever you want to call it, immigration and stuff, we had a lot of families we knew in our heart of hearts that were not stepping forward out of fear. We can't get into it, but we tried to spread the word to the social workers and the churches and the services that could be of help to them, that the annex doors were open. If they needed a debit card or a credit, what do you call it, a gift card, we had some, you know, and by the time Christmas rolled around, we truly hoped we did what we could do.
Well, I hope they come forward. I mean, they don't have to be afraid in our communities. They're all pretty hardworking individuals.
And,
you know?
And we're not about basing judgment. If you need, you get. We had a great year in that we were able to do 4 or 5 kids at summer camp this year. We could pay for them to go for the full 6 weeks at camp down here and reach out and help some others in ways that they needed to through the year. So, yeah.
I mean, so you're booming.
Yeah, well, it's like you establish something, people know there's a need, and my bottom line is, but for the grace of God, it could be me.
Yeah.
It could be anybody. It has been people that I've loved that needed to make a choice between a quart of milk or pencils and crayons for their kindergarten kid. Nobody should be in that position to not have both. We also did 20 backpacks fully stocked for the Astor kids when they started school. 2 weeks ago. Yep, they were there, and they all have their own backpacks.
That's really good.
Yeah. So people can write out a check to Adopt a Family Millerton. It goes in Berkshire DeConnick Foundation, and it's a write-off for them.
Mm-hmm.
They can drop off a toy here anytime from now to whatever, and just no electronics we prefer. But if there's some toy that made them happy, yo-yos, hula hoops, we don't care.
Whatever.
Then, you know, it's going to make some other child happy.
Little slinkies.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Stacy. Well, once again, it's been good talking, and I'm glad you had another successful year. And I'm glad
here we go again.
You thought about the gift cards after the Saperstein's closed, because you had to adjust quite readily there.
We did, because, and I get it, with Berkshire DeConnick Foundation, they can't just give us a check and say go do it. They need accountability. And because of our relationship with Sunday in the Country, there was no questions asked. There was accountability, and, you know, we could flow it through. And Billy ran his butt off last year. We wiped out Dollar Store 3 times. We wiped out food. He actually had to go from Amenia to Dover to buy another 20 cards. And he was like, just tell me what you need, Stace.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was Santa.
So he's doing a good job.
He was Santa. All right. We're going to try to get a little jump on it this year to save him some of that. But
no, it does him good to run around. Don't give him a break. Yeah, don't do that. Just
I don't know. My neighbors want him for his stonework soon.
Listen, I'm not going there. You talk about politics.
I just sent a message.
All right. Okay. Well, listen, Stacy, it was a pleasure.
Welcome back to the North, darling.
Yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow, so it's okay.
Oh, well.
The town is safe.
Well, I feel honored.
I'll probably die before you
do. All right.
Oh, now, easy.
Hello, guys.
Listen, he said he's coughing in here.
I know.
You remember when we used to have...
I'm like Camille. Gretchen?
Rolly. What did we call Rolly?
Oh, God.
Do you remember what we called Rolly?
No. But I've got a lozenge in here if you want it.
No, I've got some in my pocket. So.
Paul,
Rolly.
Yeah. Well, you said.
Rolly fan.
Remember how Rolly used to cough once in a while? God, I miss him. He was sweet. You worked with him years ago, right,
Marshall? I worked at a station as he was leaving when he was at W. KNY. He was a rock and roll disc jockey, and he was heading out of the Hudson Valley. And he worked with the likes of
Wasn't there a Johnny D or something like that?
There was from the late 50s to the late 70s. It was a great town to be in radio. That's all I'm saying.
Well, but don't forget, radio was big back then.
Well, it's still big now, but it's big differently. It's totally different. But back then, it was go-to, and it was wild times.
Well, how about Stacy Moore and the Adopt-A-Family program? It's so successful that they were able to send some kids to summer camp through the ASTER program this year, along with supplying all those families with needed items. And once again, thanks to Billy Anstead and the relationship with Sunday in a Country Food Drive, with the closing of Saperstein's, like she said, which was a huge loss to Millerton. But she was able to quickly get on her feet and promote other local businesses in the area, Tractor Supply and Oblong Books and so forth. And she made it happen, and she always does because she's a go-getter. And once again, she's going to be doing that again this year. So, folks, please keep Stacy in the Adopt-A-Family program going. That's they're going on, I think she said, 26 years. So good for them, and we hope that they do well. And she's such a great giver. Whenever we need stuff printed and all that, she gets right on it and makes it happen. So congratulations to her. And now we're going to hear from the world-famous Jeannie Salader, who, by the way, her birthday was yesterday, so I'm not going to wish her a happy birthday because I did it on my tape. But she's supposedly over the walkway on the Hudson, so hopefully she's having a good time and looking at some of the views and stuff from up there because, like you said, Marshall, that's become New York's New York's number one tourist spot.
Not number one, but it's up there and it's in the rankings, and people visit it from all over the world, amazing place.
All right, so we're going to talk to Jeannie Salader, who is president of the Tri-State Chamber of Commerce. Imagine that, after a year, you're out and about with NASCAR Dave. And I'm over in Falls Village at the event here at the recreation area, which I had no clue was even over here. So I learned something new today. What a nice area for the residents of Falls Village. But I'm sitting with my good friend Jeannie Salader, whose birthday is today. And she's going to be whisked away tomorrow and would be unable to join us in the studio. And there's a lot of stuff that's going on that she'd like to talk to. So first we want to wish her a very happy birthday. And Jeannie, you're over here at this event. You look like you're having a ball.
Thank you for the birthday wishes, Dave. I am having a ball. I'm here with a couple of friends, and we're enjoying some food and some nice local beers and a truck pull to which I've never been. It's mildly exciting.
Yeah, I didn't know they had this event here. I'm quite excited. I thought there was a good crowd here, and I like the idea of the food trucks. They've got all kinds of different food here available.
Food trucks are a dynamite thing, I think. They bring a following. You know, people who love tacos are going to come to wherever the taco truck is. People who love Great Cape Baking Company, they have a following. There are people who have never been to Falls Village before, but they know that their food truck is here, so they're going to come on by.
Yeah, no, so... does this an event, is this to raise funds for anything in particular?
The Falls Village Fire Department.
It is for the fire department.
Yes.
So it's a fire department event.
You can't say anything Falls Village without giving a hat tip to Judy Jacobs. She goes gangbusters. You know, she does that amazing classic car show in July with thousands of entries. She does this whole kit and caboodle with the fire department, and it's really, she's a powerhouse in the community.
Oh, absolutely. She has been for a long time. That classic car show they do turned into a money making situation.
It's amazing for the
whole area. It was just good, and it's a lot of fun. But this looks like a lot of fun too, and I'm surprised everybody's walking around here. We're trying the different foods and talking to one another about, oh, how good is this roast beef sandwich? And
it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of room here. It's out in the open, and they have nice indoor facilities if you need to use those. They have portalettes. There are, you know, tents where you can duck out of the shade. There's plenty of dirt and dust down on the track if that's what you're into.
And they've got a pool here to go swimming if they want to go swimming, but I don't know if it's open today.
No,
but
anyway, it isn't, unfortunately.
I'm glad I decided to come back in September, even if it's only for a couple
of
days.
We're glad to have you back.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on up here in the fall, and just goes to show you, like, today this event's going on, and of course Swassazer Golf Tournament, we'll be getting a report from Willie Hallahan on that. Billy Anstead's going to be calling in for the Sunday in the Country Food Drive.
Great.
But now that I've got you here, let's talk about the Chamber and what the Chamber's doing.
All right. Well, the Tri-State Chamber of Commerce is gearing up for the holiday season, believe it or not. We'll be soliciting donations and requests for our Adopt-A-Tree program. Those beautiful little holiday trees that go out the Monday after Thanksgiving. Or is it the Monday before? Forgive me, I'm not on that committee, so I'm not brushed up on that. We have another meeting or two before that happens. So that's next with us. And then we've got Christmas time, you know, the first Sunday of December. We'll have the Parade of Lights and Santa and caroling at the White Hart with Michael Brown and cookies for the kiddos and all that kind of thing.
Right.
And then we have our Christmas party this year for members only. Sharon Playhouse, Robert and Alan are hosting our Christmas party in the Bach Gallery,
so that's an exciting change,
yes.
Yeah.
And then another members-only opportunity happens in January when we have our annual meeting, and that'll be held at GEAR this year.
Nice.
Yes, so we're going to be kind of all over.
All right, so you're talking about the Fall Festival, or you're still doing all that
stuff? So that's one of our sponsorship efforts. I personally run the Scarecrow Contest. Mary Wilbur.
So that's on again?
Oh, yeah. Mary Wilbur runs the Pet Parade. That is the weekend of Columbus Day weekend. Is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the October 11, 12, and 13. And it's all day, those 3 days. There's lots of food vending. Well, not food vending, but, you know, the firehouse is there, and the churches have offerings, and there's just different things up and down Main Street. There's arts and crafts. The scarecrows go out that Thursday. That's a whole contest, and people vote for their favorite in different categories. We announce the winners on Sunday, right before the pet parade. So there's a lot going on, and that can all be found on SalisburyFallFestival.org.
And you added more scarecrows last year to start all the way down in Lakeville and come all the way up through.
Yes, they will be stretched a little thin this year. The response, well, we have until Monday. That's the deadline to get your paperwork in, and Monday the 23rd. So we'll see. I think a couple of different shops don't have the time to do a scarecrow, but they're going to decorate their windows a certain fun way, and that'll help, you know, bring things to life in Lakeville and Salisbury, and those will be featured on the map.
All right, so if somebody wanted to get involved with the scarecrow contest, how do they do that?
Just go to the website? Give me a shout. That's the easiest way. Gene Salater, 860-248-5585. The deadline to reserve a frame has come and gone, but they're pretty easy to make yourself if you need to. Can walk you through that.
Might have one or two extra, but I don't think so.
All right, now you talked earlier about a fashion show. What is that all about?
So, because I can't, it's because I can't stop myself, Dave, because I have lots of time on my hands and certain things I just like to sink my teeth into. So, I was online in the American Mural Project. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's a massive mural. It's nationwide, and it's being assembled in Winsted. That's their headquarters, and they have a mural that's 140 feet long by 48 feet tall, and it's all about the American worker. So everybody from a ditch digger to a surgeon is represented on this mural. It's really quite fascinating. It's beautifully done. Ellen G., because I'm not going to be able to pronounce her name, founded this concept, and she's behind it 100%, and it's beautiful. So to raise money and funds for that, they're doing their gala event, which is themed as a recycled runway, and it's called a trashin' show. So all of the models will be wearing designs by people like me that are made out of recycled materials that would otherwise end up in a landfill.
Really?
Yes. So I'm not going to give all my secrets away, but I use everything from mulch bags to calendar pages to strawberry baskets and to-go containers. It's got a little bit of something for everyone, this outfit. My model is Lisa Dunce. Christy Lefebvre is doing hair and makeup for us. And Digby Brown is our designated driver.
So you're designing the fashion?
I am doing one dress, one entry.
One entry.
Yes. And I'm up against some really harsh competition. I mean, they have forms and they know how to sew. I don't have forms and I don't know how to sew. It should be interesting.
So now when is that going to be?
That is Saturday, September 28th. It's a week from today.
So that's like next week.
Yes. Yes. And
do you have it made yet?
Yes, I have it. We've done one fitting and we have one more fitting to go so that I know where certain things go. And then everything has to be applied. So the tiara is done. The shoes are mostly done. The bracelets are done. The necklace is done. All the accessories are all set. Just the dress needs one more fitting and find out where the seams are going to be, and away we go down the runway.
You're a positive lunatic. You understand
Isn't
that?
It true, though?
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of funny, though, when you think about it.
It is. You know, I've been given the gift of only needing 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night, so...
So you're good to go.
Yeah, so I'm up in the studio working until I'm tired, and then I crash a little while and back at it.
I'm right back at it.
Yep.
Well, anyway, we're out here with the truck pulling it. Once again, it looks very successful. It's only a $10 admission fee, folks.
And people keep coming in.
Yeah, they are. They're into the second lot where they're parking
now. Oh, great. So that's a lot.
That's really good.
And I'm learning a lot about truck pulling.
Yeah.
The weight gets closer to the vehicle, and that makes it more difficult to pull.
It makes it heavier.
Oh, how does it add weight?
I don't know. It just does.
We're watching it on a 55-inch I don't know what this is. This is a massive TV.
Yeah, as it gets towards the front of the sled, it gets heavier for the truck to pull.
Okay.
But anyway, seeing how you and I don't know what we're talking about, I don't think we should...
probably move to a different thing.
I think we should go on to the...
Let's talk golf.
...next card. So anyway, Swass's golf tournament's on today, and it's a beautiful day for any kind of event today.
You know something? If you want to book an event, if you want to do something, call Judy Jacobs and find out what days she's doing something, or if she's not doing something, what day she would pick. Because everything that she touches is a beautiful day.
I don't think she's ever had rain at that car show.
Never.
I can't remember.
Nope.
She never has.
Nope. It's amazing.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It's all good.
And this is a great family event. There are a ton of kids here.
Oh, absolutely.
They have a lot to do. There's a bounce house.
And it's pet friendly. There's a bunch of folks with their pets here walking around just having a ball. Little kids having fun.
And you got local breweries, you know, the food trucks. You also have some local folks doing chicken sandwiches and things.
Yeah.
All for a good cause.
All right, so once again, the chamber is going to be busy for the next 3 months by the sounds.
Yes. And then, you know, not for nothing, but pretty soon it'll be time to talk about the Murphy Open.
I know, already. So how did the Murphy Open do this year?
It went well. It went well. We were able to write checks to our 4 different VFW beneficiaries. And
and who were they?
Dover, the Dover Armenia,
yep.
Millerton, Lakeville. And, forgive me, Sharon. I was trying to do it alphabetically and it didn't work.
Oh, okay.
So you did America, you did two American Legions, and you did two VFWs.
Correct.
How cool is that?
It was good. It was a really good year, and people rallied around it. And we have to reserve a little bit for next year because there's a very good chance we might be changing our venue and our date, and that's going to need a little bit of promotion. As you all know, the Egremont Country Club is for sale, and it goes under contract every 6 months, so we're not going to know about that venue technically until December, and that's sort of tricky. Because if we have to change venue and day,
we need
a lot more time. You know, we need, we have to book it, and B, we've got to market it as it is.
Yeah.
It's a massive change. It's been at Egremont all this time.
Forever, yeah.
And it's our 25th year.
Wow.
So that requires marketing in and of itself.
Absolutely. Well, that's pretty
so
cool.
So it's going to be a busy winter for me and the Murphy Open crew.
Well, just make sure you keep everybody informed so that
that's the bottom line.
When all those changes take place, if they do, just so we can certainly help promote it. You know,
communication,
I mean,
is key, definitely.
It is.
And WHDD has been a great partner in that always.
Well, I'll give him a heads up when I go in tomorrow and talk to him.
Oh, I bet he can't wait to see you.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah.
It took him a week
together
and a half.
Again.
It took him a week and a half to get back to me, so I'm not sure.
While we're on
it, he's a busy man.
Marshall, what are our Giants doing, Marshall?
Or,
I don't know. It's a lot easier to answer what they aren't doing.
I haven't followed football at all. This is the third game coming up this
week? We're 0-2.
So you're
0-2. So we know we're not going to make the playoffs because statistically speaking, that just won't happen.
Yeah,
in our 10th rebuilding year, our 8th rebuilding year.
Well, pretty soon you should be rebuilt.
One would think. It's not. We're not the bionic man at all.
You wouldn't think it'd have to take 8 years, would you?
Boy, oh boy, with all the money. I don't know.
Yeah, we've even got a little drone flying around.
Yes. There's a lot to photograph, and I don't know. Drones can be a neat perspective.
Oh, absolutely. They can get.
They cover a lot more ground than.
They do, and the cameras on those things are phenomenal.
They really are. They really are.
I think that's what he's probably doing. He's taking some pictures.
Yep, we gave it a wave at one point. Yep.
Oh, well, maybe you'll be world famous on TV or something.
I hope not.
Maybe we can see it on here.
I hope not.
Well,
it sounds like more to do.
Anyway, I'm going to move along and try to get the rest of this day finished off without getting
in
any trouble.
David, it is really great to see you. Thank you for taking the time.
I want you to have a good day tomorrow and enjoy whatever the adventure is you're going on.
I think we're going to do Walkway Over the Hudson.
Oh, are you?
Yep.
That was Gene Salater talking with the man himself yesterday. I'm Marshall Miles.
I'm NASCAR Dave.
And I'm Farmer Paul.
So, Marshall.
Yeah.
Out of the blue, Paul brought up Ralph Fidelli.
What?
Thank God.
Well, I ran into him.
I should have let him know I was in town so he could come in and tell me what was going on, too. So I'm remiss about the schoolhouse and all that.
Well, it's been busy with the schoolhouse.
Yeah. How cool is that when you think about that whole project and how that all started and mm-hmm. where they've come from and where they started and what they've been able to do with the school.
The Northeast Historical Society's put on displays there on the weekends now and stuff like
that.
Yeah.
And that's what he always wanted. That was his dream.
That was his dream.
But Ralph likes to talk like Willie. So he goes on.
I hope
he's
not listening.
On.
What?
I'm out of town tonight, Paul, so I don't have to worry. You're here.
Yeah, I'm here. That's
so
that's
somebody,
what I'm saying.
Somebody sees you, which you don't hang out in Millerton anymore.
No, I don't. Really.
Hey, see what Robbie Cooper's doing with that gas station?
I haven't seen what he's doing. I haven't heard.
Is that actually going through? I thought it was going to be a Dunkin' Donuts.
No. It is going to be a historic gas station. It's not really going to pump gas. All the memorabilia he's collected from gas stations, pumps and everything like that, are going to be set up and on display there. He's going to completely do it over.
How cool is
that? So it's going to look like a 1930s gas station.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's not. He has an old Coke machine
I'm sure he's going to have everything that you found back then. It's just, he's not going to sell gas. It's going to be a cool thing once it's all done.
Wow. Mm. Good for him.
Yeah.
And
he's
also running for
something.
One of the offices. It's amazing. Any of the politicians calling you up yet, Marshall?
I just heard from people that wanted to buy time, and I have to tell them we can't, as a nonprofit station, we can't accept advertising dollars from Democrats, Republicans, Independents, people from the moon. We just can't accept that. I said, so, well, we'll gladly interview these people.
Right.
When it comes, but we,
I mean, you can interview them and just
but
put
we,
their...
We don't their, make the ca- we don't make a cash killing like commercial stations do on politicians.
But you're still... You're willing to do an interview and so they can get their platform out there.
As long as they contact us, yeah, we'll definitely do it. That's what we're here for, absolutely.
Yeah, because NASCAR Dave's not in the house every Sunday, so you just can't walk in here
anymore. No, I'm in here, but you just can't walk in here.
You just can't walk in anymore.
You're not on every Sunday anymore?
No, well...
Because I keep tuning in.
You do?
Yeah, I hear you. I guess I just hear you in my mind.
Oh, yeah, probably.
You don't even know where to tune in on the dial.
You didn't know the phone number.
No,
of the
I
station
couldn't remember
either.
The phone number. No, I think I have it in my phone, actually.
You do?
Yeah.
5141.
In case I need to call over here. Yeah.
Why would you call over here?
Well, to make comments on some of the things that are happening.
Well, you listen to a lot of the different shows that they used to have on, though, course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Car Talk? I'm still listening to Car Talk.
Hey, yesterday on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yeah.
Lakeville, Connecticut. Donald Sosin called in one of those challenges.
Oh, really?
It's the first time years ago when we had Car Talk on, we had a person from Falls Village call in from our area, and yesterday Donald Sosin was on the air, and it was funny because the host of the show said, you know, where do you? He said Lakeville, Connecticut, and the host of the show said, oh, that's where all the rich people live. And, do you go into their house and play with their things?
Who's Donald Sosin?
Donald Sosin is a musician. Donald Sosin is an unbelievable musician. And Joanna Seaton is his wife. They're from Salisbury. They go around. He plays piano for old-time music all over the world. When they show old-time movies, just like it used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a talented musician, composer, arranger. His wife is an unbelievable singer and musician and arranger and composer and... they live in Lakeville, and he got on. Wait, don't tell me.
They have a little contest where they have like three people read out stories, and they ask them which one is true. Is it
stuff like that? Yeah. So it was fun to hear a person from Lakeville. So I taped it and I plopped it on our on demand page so people who missed it could
cool
hear it.
How cool is that though?
Yeah.
Is he as famous as that David Spinoza guy?
I don't know. I'm getting a call from Garden City, New York.
There you go. That's got to be for me.
Who would call me from Garden City, New York?
I have no idea.
Could be just spam.
It's probably
spam. Robocall or something.
Well, I'll let you guys talk and I'll find out.
All right, so he's going to find out. So, Paul.
Yes?
You were going off on...
tangent?
On what?
On a tangent.
You sounded just like ranting and raving.
No,
Larry,
I'm not.
For a
I'm
while.
Not going on the radio with that. I'm
You're
just,
not.
No,
I'm, no, that was just off the air.
That's over. Off the air banter. I'm not interested in publicizing your
opinion.
My opinions, no, no.
No, because you don't want your house firebombed.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that actually.
No, you wouldn't mind. That.
I think that would be a good thing.
So but, now you said the town of Northeast. Remember, we were big proponents of the new town garage and stuff. They've made some progress there?
Well, it looks like they're doing something up in that vacant lot. Maybe I'm wrong.
No,
I'm almost certain they get a very large grant to help construct it because it is going to be very expensive.
How cool is that, though?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Well, they've needed it for years and years
apparently,
and years. So.
Yeah. Well, what has made progress, I don't know if you recognize this, is the rail trail.
When I went up to the Under Mountain Country Club yesterday, I came down the back road, and you can see where they've made the actual trail.
Right.
It's not paved or anything,
no.
But they have it constructed. How cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's been going on since I moved here.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, that's really going to connect Dutchess to
Columbia
and beyond. Because
they've gone all the way up now.
They've gone all the way up, and then they reconnected to the one up in Copec somewhere, right?
Yeah, somewhere.
That was Picante's Southwest Mexican Grill. He's an underwriter here, and not only is he in Lakeville now, but they opened up another restaurant in North Canaan.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, and they're just doing bang-up job. And so he just called, and he heard I was on the air with you guys. And so there we go.
He doesn't want to talk to us?
I'd like to hear his
menu.
No. It's great. I'll tell you, it's really good food, really good food.
Does he have coupons?
Paul, you know what? I truly miss that.
He might have coupons, not coupons, though.
Coupons.
I, tr- truly miss that part of the Sunday humor.
Do you know, well, let me tell you something else.
I saw
something very strange yesterday. Somebody apparently had lost the telephone pole out of the front of their yard.
Yeah.
So they had a picture of it, and they attached it to a dog.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Is it almost noontime?
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Usually when you lose a dog, you post it on top on the side of a telephone pole.
No, you go to Facebook.
This guy lost a
telephone pole,
so they
put it on the
dog.
You post it on Facebook. Facebook! That finds more animals, lost animals, than anything else in the world.
Isn't that funny, though, how that works?
So one great thing, one really, truly great thing about Facebook is that, boy, you post pictures of lost animals, and it's almost like 90% of the time they're found. Very few times they're not found.
Didn't I read somewhere where someone in Dutchess County had a lost cat for like 14 years and they just found it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because of the microchip. That's.
Oh, it was microchip?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. 14 years.
Yeah, it was some incredible amount of time.
Paul's microchip, you know.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Would you like to see the scar?
I don't doubt that. Anybody that drives from Millerton all the way to Florida to spend 15 minutes and have a cup of coffee with you, there's something wrong with you, Marshall. I don't care what anybody says.
I was expecting a little bit more, actually, like a full breakfast or something on those.
I told you that there was stores open up and down the block.
Right,
all
the
you
corner.
Had to do is go out there and drive.
And actually, I did drive.
And now they just opened up a brand new Starbucks right across the street from where you come out of the complex, so you could go there.
I didn't have to drive to your house. I had to drive to the parking lot and then walk to your
house.
That
was your choice.
Oh, I see.
That was your choice.
Now, so were you all excited that you might have a hurricane right off the bat?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, Marshall. I did learn. I got quite an education with that because originally, and for a long period of time, it was coming right at Florida.
Right, yeah.
And it looked like it was going to be pretty big, like a Category 4 or 5. And so I went up. This no kidding. I went to a Sam's Club. It's probably 10 miles from me. And I wanted to get two cases of water just in case I needed some water. And, you know, when you go to a Sam's Club, they have thousands of cases of water. Yeah. I went up there a week before.
Gone.
And it was gone. There wasn't a bottle of water in this store. Not one. So then just for the heck of it, as it got closer and closer, and it looked like it was still coming towards us, I started to go to just local grocery stores.
Yeah.
And the local grocery stores, every local store is three times the size of Freshtown.
Right.
Okay? And they have hundreds of items on their shelves. I mean, thousands of everything. You can't believe that the shelves were empty. I mean, absolutely empty.
Oh.
And you go places to buy batteries or this and that and the other thing. So I did learn a lesson about being prepared if a storm's come. The only thing, when you live in a manufactured home, my recommendation, if the storm actually is going to be there, you're either better off getting out of Dodge beforehand or just going to one of the shelters.
Right.
And some of the shelters down there are pet friendly, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's all well and good because that storm we're 60 miles inland, 70 miles inland.
You still would have gotten hurricane force winds, yeah.
Well, and it was 70 miles off the shore when it turned.
Yeah.
So we still had some pretty high winds.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't do any kind of damage or anything. And the rain bands didn't really reach down into us. But just last week, my wife and I went over to Daytona and we looked at, because there was another one offshore, but it was quite a ways further offshore. You can't believe what it does to the surf. I mean, I've been to Daytona for years and I've never seen surf so high. And guys and gals out there surfing, because you don't get waves that big. I mean, these waves were 15 feet in the air. So I can't imagine if a hurricane came in there, what it would do to the shoreline. It'd destroy it. It'd go up and over their berms and out into the street, you know.
Right.
So we're aware of it, and we're watching the tropics constantly. That's one thing you do down there is you watch for these storms coming in and out, but it is what it is. We'll deal with it. And if we've got to get out of Dodge, we'll just pack up the dogs and go. Long as my truck isn't in the garage because they recalled it already. I don't know. Have to go get a car like I did to go to the airport. It's okay. But, you know, the one nice thing about living down there, within 5 miles you can do anything you want to do. I don't care what kind of food you want, what kind of store you want, what kind of gas station you want, what kind of anything you want. It's all within 5 miles of you. It's not like you've got to drive to Kingston to go to Sam's or go to Big Y in Great Barrington or do any of that. It's all within reach. And the folks down there, for the majority, 98% of them are all retired. And everything is slowed down there except one thing. Oh. The drivers are more impatient.
Are they really?
They're more impatient than they are in New York and Massachusetts.
Really?
10 times over. I mean, this is NASCAR Dave talking. The old people just, when they get in their car, they're impatient.
It's
they
worse.
Want to get to where they go.
It's worse when you get to the coastline because then there's the intercoastal waterways. And so to get from one place to another, you have to go over those bridges. And you want to talk about impatient?
they do have plans there. They let you know pretty much what's going on. They're pretty much on top of it. Mm-hmm. But when the winds get 39 miles an hour sustained, they shut those bridges down. So if you're not out of Dodge by then, you're done.
You've got
to stay there because they won't come and get you either, you know. But the first responders down there, much like up here with the volunteers, although they're all paid down there, it truly is amazing how hard they work and how often they run. I mean, just in our complex, there's 600 homes. I bet they're in our complex three times a day, three different times a day. And what's really cool down there is the ambulance service and the fire service are two totally different operations. They go in tandem. An ambulance goes and a fire truck goes to the same call, no matter where it is. And what's really unique is if the ambulance is further out than the fire apparatus, there's an EMT, a licensed EMT, on every single fire truck that rolls in our town. So that they can, and they have the same equipment that the ambulance does, and they can stabilize somebody until the ambulance gets there. And that's a pretty unique system, to be quite honest with you. So we're all happy down there, and we're just moving along, and I'm glad to be working. I know what it's like to weed sand traps now on a golf course and know a little bit more about irrigation that I never understood. And we've both met a lot of nice people down there, and it's from all over the country, and that's what's kind of cool. You know, you hear from where you are. But when you talk about sports fans, you think we're big Yankee fans and big Red Sox fans and this and that up here, Marshall. Those folks in Florida are college crazy.
Oh, college football.
I mean, college football is huge down there. I mean, you go to you go somewhere on a Saturday afternoon, anywhere, and of course they all have specials. There's 100 people in the place just watching their football game, and they get nuts over it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. But anyway, it's all good, and it's nice to come back and see everybody. And I had a good time, and I appreciate everybody coming and calling in today and helping get some of the word out. Don't forget, Robin Hood Radio here is it's here to help all the nonprofits in the area. And try to keep them going forward. And certainly we totally appreciate all your help. And we hope we can keep it going forward. And once again, Sunday in a Country Food Drive has some events coming up that Billy and Colleen talked about this morning. We hope you go out and support them, help make their 40th. For myself, NASCAR Dave, Farmer Paul, and, of course, Ranting and Raving Larry. I still like that name better. Keep up the good work with the stuff you do in the paper, and maybe next time I come up, we'll be able to get him to come in and do a cameo appearance and see how that goes. And we'll also let Bellingham Bill know that we're back on the air so he can call in and tell us what's going on in Massachusetts. So,
maybe I can get like a little bobblehead of Larry. And we can just stick it right
you,
there?
You should, now that you're in a bobblehead.
Yeah.
So, Marshall, thanks for taking away your Sunday morning to help us promote what we do, and we appreciate everything you do here at Robin Hood Radio. Hope everybody has a great Sunday, and we'll talk to you next time we come back up.
Share of bar rooms, stared at many motel walls. The years in Carolina and all the one night stands. What kept the fires a burning? Back then, was you the fans? We two stepped out to Texas, round and round the dance hall floor.